And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, June 27th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman, co-host, along with my son Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. And folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased and uncensored news analysis and information vital to our survival today. We've got an awesome show planned for you folks. I just want to let you know that you're listening to the only show where we present the news in 3D. We look beyond the headlines and bylines and bring you the news behind the news and help you sort out all the information behind the white noise. Man, I'll tell you, it's something today how it's almost like hourly that the news and headlines and everything just comes at you. And it's kind of what I call a duck or bleed scenario. It's always, man, the information is fast and furious, pun intended. Folks, to the new listeners, we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. This is a growing program. I'm so proud to let you know that we're hitting basically all the continents, or most of them. I have to go back to my elementary school social studies to make sure I've got that right. But anyway, you can find us on the internet at homelandsecurityus.com. That's our home base. And, of course, our colleagues to the north, canadafreepress.com, where I serve as a contributing columnist to that fine publication, those fine people in to the north. We are also simulcast, this show, on the Christian United Broadcasting Network. You can tune in to us at the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. And again, folks, thank you for joining us, for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this minefield of events together. Now, this show tonight, we are going to have Pastor Paul Begley on as a guest. Now, he'll be joining us shortly. Now, Joe set this up. And, you know what? In the interest of full disclosure, okay, let me explain something that happened last night that, just to be clear, just so that there's no rumors floating around, or you know how things get started on the internet. Last night during the show, and Joe's not on yet with me, he is dealing with a personal situation. Last night during our program with Steve Quayle and the Guerrilla Economist. By the way, that was a great program. A lot of good information. But during the show, his cell phone rang and he got a call from a neighbor. And the neighbor said, hey, your residence is being broken into. And there were people coming out of the place with the televisions, or a television he's got, or he had, I should say. And a computer, laptop, and some other things. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, his residence was burglarized last evening by, and nothing to do with the show, nothing to do with anything except, you know, just a vanilla-type burglary, if you will. But in the process, they trashed his place. I mean, just utterly trashed it. Oh, my goodness. What a mess. So he's going to be perhaps late coming to the show tonight. I got a note from him. I talked to him at 7:30 Eastern time, about 20 or 30 minutes before the show. He was ready to come on. Everything was fine. And then I do know that the police arrived there for some follow-up investigation, trying to identify the perps who did this. So, Keep Joe your prayers, and Joe will be joining us here shortly. But just to let you know what happened, you know, it's a lot well, a lot goes on behind the scenes. So it was kind of a real mess trying to keep things together, as he was frantic too. He couldn't find his wife. He didn't know if his wife was home or if she was out, and you know how that gets. And you know, folks, it's getting frightening these days, isn't it? It's getting frightening these days. If you look at things, can you see the increased desperation in people? Can you see the increase in betrayal? Can you see the increase in attitude? I think that there is this increase.
Hello?
And, Pastor, are you on with us?
I guess so.
Hey, pop right in there.
No, I'm sorry. The phone rang, and I just hit it, and I'm here.
Well, that's terrific. I was just kind of opening the show, Pastor, with kind of a recap of what happened to Joe last night, only out of the interest of full disclosure, because he is late coming to the program, as he is dealing with the police right now, who arrived there earlier. I mean, what timing, too, by the way. They had the entire day to do this, and they arrived moments ago for a follow-up interview with respect to what happened to him. So he's going to be late coming on, and I wanted to explain that to people.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty much done. So he's right now, he's dealing with the interview. And we had a great show today, Pastor, didn't we? It was an awesome show on the coming apocalypse. I felt the spirit of the Lord, and I'll tell you something. I'm not a guy that really says that, but I felt the spirit of the Lord during that show. My goodness, what information! What a show you've got.
You guys were awesome today, and you know what? When I went into the altar call, you don't know this. 8 people got saved. I really didn't even hardly have to say much. They just started saying, "I want to be saved. I want to get saved. I can see time's running out." So I wanted to let you guys know that the first thing tonight, what a powerful show it was, what great information you and Jill brought forward. And I couldn't keep up with you guys. You guys were just loaded for bear. And, you know, the best news of all, eight people accepted Christ as their Savior 5 minutes after the show, after you guys dismissed. We just went straight into an altar call, and they just started responding. So it was awesome.
Wow. Well, I really wish that we could, you know, say that we're not responsible for some of that, but it's God, isn't it? I think people can sense that time is short and that things are not right, don't you? I mean, isn't there that feeling out there?
Absolutely, Doug. Used to be years ago, people didn't even want to talk about the end of time or, I have plenty of time. The world's going to last forever. You don't hear that anymore. People don't say the world's going to last forever. They hear of events taking place all the time, and they're like, what does this mean? I feel something bad is coming. I sense this nation's in trouble or this world's falling apart. I mean, those are even if they're not Christians and they're not really religious, they know something's not right. They can feel that in the air, and it's really just a perception, their ability to perceive what's taking place.
Exactly. And you know, I spent nearly 30 years as an investigator in the private sector, and of course some of that time as an operational asset with the Department of Justice and the FBI and such. You know, that time period, by the way, was back in the 90s, and it seems like a world away. It seems like 100 years ago, but things have changed so much since that time. What Joe and I, before the show, we talked a little bit about what we wanted to get into. And Joe said, you know what we ought to do is just let the pastor kind of take it where he wants to go because of our experience. And folks, you've got to listen to the coming apocalypse. You've got to listen to today's broadcast. Pastor, where can they find that? Where can our listeners find the coming apocalypse?
They can find it if they want to watch it. They can go to my website at www.paulbegleyprophecy.com. That's paulbegleyprophecy.com. And you go there, go to my live streaming page, and you can watch the whole show live every day, 3 hours, and participate in the chat room if you want. Or if you want to watch it over at live stream, I've got it on over there. Or they can listen to it on their cell phones, their Androids, their iPhones, what have you. right here at Blog Talk Radio on the coming apocalypse. I'm in the same category you guys are in, and that is the news category. I'm back there. Look, I'm still looking up. You know, I'm still following you, but I'm not far behind. And anyway, I'm in the same category, and I think it's a great category. There's some great shows like True News with Rick Wiles.
Oh, yeah.
There's some great shows in this category, and I think so. You can find me. Come Apocalypse, easy to find at my website or right here at Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's great. And I'll tell you, you've got a wonderful show. In fact, when Joe and I drove to Washington, D.C., and then to North Carolina when we did a seminar recently, we downloaded some of your shows and some of Rick Wiles' shows. And you know, the common theme among everyone is, boy, the hour is late, the time is short. And it's kind of a nebulous feeling in this. It's like trying to grab the way I described it to Joe, and maybe you can relate to this, is, you know, when you at parties, you play with water balloons with the kids. And if you take a water balloon that's not quite completely filled with water, where it's got some elasticity to it, and you cover it in Vaseline, and it's kind of like you can't really grab onto it. You know, you see it, you know it's a balloon, you know what it is, but you really can't grab it. And that's kind of the feeling I've got. We know something is coming. The balloon is coming, whatever that balloon might be, but we really can't grab onto it, grasp what it is, whether...
To that point, this, I think what you're saying is we could see that the end is coming, but how do we get there? Is it World War III? Is it a financial collapse where the market completely just crashes and the dollar's worthless and there's madness and mayhem and running on the banks? Is it nuclear fallout from a major terrorist attack hitting one of our major cities like Chicago, Atlanta, or L.A. or something? Is it, you know what I'm saying? That's the squishy part of the balloon. Like, we're not sure which one, but we know that all of these factions are coming together, and we're not sure which. Or is it a major earthquake? Does the New Madrid fault line just have a 12.0 mega quake, and the Mississippi River shifts direction and swallows St. Louis, and the Lake Michigan empties out and drowns everybody in northern Indiana? I mean, any of those scenarios, or is it the super volcano in Yellowstone National Park? Does it just erupt on us all of a sudden, blowing up half of the Northwest and part of Canada? I mean, we really don't know, but all of those scenarios we know are very possible. And that's why
exactly.
The balloon is squishy. You know, the balloon is shaky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That might not have been the best analogy to use, but you know, that's kind of in my simple mind a simple mental picture. We do have a lot of audience overlap, but we do also have new listeners to you. Some people perhaps never have heard you before, unaware of what you've done, and you've done so much, man. Whatever you're taking, please send me some, okay? Aside from the coffee, I mean, you know, you and I are copious coffee drinkers, and
right.
I love your coffee cups, and I just love the way you do things. But for the people who don't know who you are, do you mind giving a brief bio and also about the books, the fantastic books that you have written?
Well, I appreciate that, Doug. I mean, really, I'm nothing special. I'm just a country boy from northern Indiana. My family roots are really out of eastern Kentucky, both my mom and dad. I am a fourth generational minister. My great-great-grandfather was an evangelist that rode horseback through eastern Kentucky and eastern Tennessee, West Virginia, preaching in outdoor meetings on porches and hollers in school buildings. He did take a train and go to Los Angeles, California during the great Azusa Street Revival and stayed out there about 3 months and just got saturated with the power of God and the evangelistic message. And he came back and really was a tremendous soul winner, Eastern Kentucky. And he preached until he was 92 years old. He was jumping on top of people at age 92. I hope those genes have continued to follow all the way through. My grandmother was a licensed full gospel minister and was really strong in healing. And she spent a lot of her time going into hospitals and praying for the sick and anointing them well, and many miracles happened. She was tremendous in that area. She was on fire for God. My dad's a Baptist preacher. He's been preaching 40-some years, and he's the founder of three churches, and we're co-pastors together now, so it's a lot of fun, like you and Joe are doing. It's a lot of fun to work every day and every week with your father and something, and it's great to be doing it in the ministry. And I've been preaching, just celebrated 29 years I've been preaching the gospel. So the Lord's brought me through a lot. You know, I had a car accident where I broke my neck and was upside down underwater and almost drowned. Through the power of the Lord, I was able to crawl out, save the other guy, walk a half a mile, and find out I had a broken neck. Wound up 19 months physical therapy. I've had a heart attack, survived that. So the devil's taking two shots at me. He messed up. Now I understand he can't get me. Now I'm going to let the Lord take care of me from here on out.
I'm going to call you Superman. Holy cow. Seriously, I didn't know. If I did, I had forgotten this, but I don't think I knew about the car accident. When was that?
1988, February 22nd, 1988.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's the thing about that, Doug. One of the fears in my life, I would say this all the time. They would say, was there anything you're afraid of? I said, yeah, I'm afraid of one thing. It's I can't swim. I said, I'm afraid of one thing. I would never want to be in a car and go off a bridge and go underwater. That's the most panicking thing I had in my mind. I would say that all the time. And on the way to work one morning, the other fellow was driving. We lost control of the car, and we rolled it 7 times, landed upside down in a very deep ditch, about 15 feet deep. We went completely underwater. So I'm upside down in a seatbelt, underwater, in darkness. And I realized my neck's broke. All I'm doing is I'm praying to God, not now, because I had two little boys at home. And we were 4 and 5 years old, and I was struggling with the seatbelt. I forgot, and I finally said, Jesus, help me. And when I said the name of Jesus, the belt buckle snapped. I don't know how it snapped. I don't know what made it happen. It just snapped. I swung around. I got to the floorboard, was able to get a gulp of air. I realized my window was busted out. I didn't know I had busted out my own head. I swam out the window up to the top, which I can't swim, but I you know what? You can learn fast. Okay.
yeah.
And once I got up to the top, I realized that the guy that was in the car with me was still struggling. So I went back down in there, got him, and pulled him through my window, pulled him out of the water. We climbed up out of this very deep ditch, and it was 12 degrees that morning. We walked a half a mile, froze by when we found a house in Indiana. You know, you have to walk a half a mile to find somebody. We pound on the door, and the guy comes to the door, and he says, and I said, look, we've been in a terrible accident. My buddy's hurt bad. He had a concussion. He had a broken shoulder blade, collarbone. You know, he was hurt. And I said, get an ambulance for him. Can I use your phone to call my wife to come get me, bring me some clean clothes? And he says to me, don't you want to go to the hospital too? I said, no, I'm fine. He goes, you're fine? Then why is your head sitting over there on your shoulder? And when he said those words, the pain just rushed. And at that moment, my left arm fell, and it would be 19 months of physical therapy before I could fully use my left arm. So God brought me through. Here's the thing I learned about that. Job says in the Bible, that thing I greatly feared has come upon me. So what I learned is Job was afraid of catastrophe. He would confess that all the time for fear of being robbed, for fear he'd be attacked. And then when it happened to him, he said, this thing I greatly feared has come upon me. And it came to me, Paul, you got to quit saying what you're afraid of. This very thing you greatly feared has come upon you. And I learned from that day forward, Doug, that your confessions have to be positive. You can't confess negative things. You have to confess blessings. You're an overcomer. Yes, go ahead and say it. I am Superman by the power of God. Not because of me, but by the power of God. In other words, you have to make positive confessions, because the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So if we speak bad things about ourselves, we bring bad things upon ourselves. It's the law of the confession. It's really a biblical principle. And I learned the hard way never to confess fears.
That's interesting you say that, because Doug Weed, who was the former, I think the former autobiographer of George W. Bush. I think they had falling out. But anyway, he had done a motivational speech I had seen in New York City one time. And he said, you know, it's like telling someone don't trip when they're carrying a tray of drinks or whatever. Don't trip, don't trip. And reinforce that negativity instead of saying walk straight or you know, instead of focusing on the positive. It's always attempting to avoid the negative, and it's actually reinforcing the negative, which it plants that seed and does some things mentally. So I understand what you're saying, and I think that that's really an important lesson for everyone to learn, to keep in mind that don't reinforce the negative by what you say, because that is wow. But
some people would say it's bringing bad karma and all that. I really don't believe in karma, but I do believe that you can confess your blessings, which are promised to you. So basically, confess your blessings that are already promised to you in the Bible, and then you kick them into gear. I mean, you kick the word of God into motion when you speak the word. But when you speak fear and doubt and unbelief, well, you bring that upon you because that's a lack of faith, you know.
Exactly.
You're confessing your doubts. And, you know, Dr. Summerall used to teach us, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. And that's what you want to do. You know, you want to feed your faith. And the only way to feed your faith, the best way to feed your faith, is with the Word of God. Now, I do have four books, like you said, Doug, and I appreciate you asking me about them. The first one I wrote was the Hosea Prophecy, and that's it's about the all the dead birds, dead fish, and dead cows. You remember that, falling out.
Oh, yes.
It's still happening, Doug. It happens every day around the world. It's just the media just don't want to talk about it more because they don't have no explanation. But I took the biblical principle in the Bible in Hosea chapter 4 when it says, because there's no truth, there's no mercy, there's no knowledge about in the land, and because of the swearing, the lying, the killing, the stealing, and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore, the land will mourn with the beast of the field, the fowls of heaven, yea, and the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. And that's why we're seeing these multiple millions of fish wash up on the banks, birds falling out of the sky, cattle falling over dead by the thousands. It's because we as humanity are living in sin and walking disobedient to God. And so we wrote a book on that. Now I've just found out that in the new movie World War Z with Brad Pitt.
Yes.
They actually show a scene with thousands of dead birds on the washing up on the banks. And they also show a scene from my latest book, which is Zombie Apocalypse. They actually take one of the actual stories in my book here about the man down in Miami who ate 80% of the face off the other guy. And all of these zombie apocalypse situations. You have people stripping down naked. They got superhuman strength. They're eating people. They're biting on people. They're breaking handcuffs. They have to be tasered 5 times. I mean, they're jumping out of second floor building and running. I mean, they're eating dogs, ripping them apart. And I actually wrote a book called The Zombie Apocalypse because it's demon activity. It's demon spirits that are possessing these people. And it's the same thing that happened to the demoniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5 is happening today. The same old demons are re-resurrecting, and I believe it's because we're in the end times. So the Lord told me, write a book, Zombie Apocalypse, The Return of Legion. And so now there's World War Z, and in the movie, not only do they show the thousands or millions of dead fish on the water, but they show this scene of the man in Miami, Florida, and they portray the zombies as demon-possessed. So my wife says to me, what? Sounds to me like they must have read your book. I said, well, who knows? But at least what's happening is the zombie apocalypse is not really zombies crawling out of the ground. We know that. But what it is a manifestation going on with people, and it has to be demonic. It can't be God. It has to be demonic. And so the book also explains, you know, when the crucifix went flying off my wall. You remember that happening?
Oh, yeah.
So that's all in the book. I explain all that, how it happened. So See,
yeah, by the way, I did show that, and I think I mentioned this to you. I showed that to George Norrie, who could not believe that. And, you know, he was that really kind of freaked him out, and his producer and they said, "Wow, you know, we've seen a lot of things, of course, right, in that venue in which they deal, but that was one thing." And folks, if you haven't seen it, Pastor, you've got that on your YouTube channel, I think, by itself, isolated, or at least...
Yeah, if you go to my YouTube channel, my channel page, you scroll down there where it says the most popular videos, it's in that list. I think it's like number 7 or 8 most popular video. If you just, it's really easy to find there if people want to watch it. It's pretty...
Yeah. And not that we didn't trust you, but we have, because of the investigators, we have some software that looks for anomalies in editing in videos and such. Okay, so we put it through that software, and frankly, it's unedited. It is what it is, folks. If you watch it, it'll freak you out where this crucifix suddenly inexplicably flies off of the top of a curio cabinet type piece of furniture, if you will, and it's just something to see. So definitely, I would definitely watch that. And you were talking about rebuking Satan, I believe, at the time, or doing something.
What had happened, Doug, is that a new Bible had just come out, a new revised version of the Bible that had removed the Father, the Son, and the Son of God out of all the pages of the Bible. And how do you remove the Father, the Son, and the Son of God out of the entire Bible and call it a Bible? So I was furious, and I was discussing that in the video, and I'm really very frustrated and angry of the lie, and I'm really mad at the devil. I'm not mad at anybody else. I'm mad at the devil for trying to steal Christ from the Bible, basically, and God from the Bible. And so I was rebuking the devil. I literally rebuked the devil. And this crucifix, now, it didn't slip down, as you know, you watched the video, because it had a nail. I had it tacked. There was a little nail at the bottom of it so it wouldn't slide. It was leaning at an 85-degree angle against the wall, and it weighs 4.5 pounds. It can't come up off that wall. No breeze. A hurricane couldn't blow it up. You know what I'm saying? You can't. It's not a little plastic cross or something. I mean, this thing is a 4.5-pound crucifix leaning against the wall. No, there was, and I had people say you had to use fishing line or you had to do this and that. Look, I would never in a million years mock and play with the supernatural. I understand that there's good and evil. I deal with it every day, and I don't need to pretend there's a devil. I meet him all the time. So I really rebuked the devil, and I think the devil got very angry at me and threw the crucifix at me. And it startled me. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was afraid for a few moments. You're the only one that analyzed it, though. Perry Stone's ministry, now I've never talked to Perry Stone in my life, but his sister said that they watched it, and put it under several screens of micro, checking it out. They slowed it in slow motion. They said, that thing is real. I said, of course it's real. It just, you don't, rarely do you see a demonic manifestation caught on film.
And exactly.
I wasn't going to put it on YouTube. I really was going to erase it. I didn't want anybody to ever see it. But the Lord told me, no, put it up there. People need to know the devil's real.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and by the way, folks, Pastor Begley's expression was absolutely priceless. You cannot fake an expression like that. I think you're doing a service by having people see that the real deal. I mean, it's not something to trifle with, is it? I mean, this
no, no, and I'm not playing. We don't play with the demon spirits. I'm not into seances and Ouija boards. Matter of fact, in the book I wrote, Zombie Apocalypse, I have a whole chapter dedicated to the flying crucifix. But I've also got a whole chapter in here dealing with Ouija boards and seances and demon possessions and different exorcisms that Dr. Summerall performed, as well as an Anglican priest in Ireland, as well as some of the homes I went in that had demon infestations. And I explained those. some real life accounts. So it's a really cool book to read and to learn a lot about demonology, so that you don't, you know, so that you understand the do's and don'ts. Even I have prayers of deliverance I put in there that you can pray if you feel you've got demon activity going on in your life or your home. There's prayers you can pray. I put them in there for you to give you power to pray over them in the name of Jesus.
No, okay, which book is this, Pastor?
The Zombie Apocalypse.
Okay, The Zombie Apocalypse. And you also wrote an amazing book about RFID. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Mark the Beast. I've moved more of those. More people have acquired those than any book I've written. It's been out not quite a year, but it's really a book based on current world events, Bible prophecies from the scriptures. There's a lot of Bible that is sprinkled in there, and it's a novel. So sort of like Dan Brown writes The Da Vinci Code, you know, I'm writing The Mark of the Beast. Tim LaHaye, who wrote, Left Behind. It's similar to that kind of thinking, except that I really dig in some current world events, Bible prophecy, and then an end-time apocalyptic scenario. And it's really touched some folks. It's amazing. There's 9 events that I wrote in there that have come to pass, including I wrote that the Pope would resign instead of die. Okay? And I wasn't going to do that, Doug. I actually wrote that he died, and the Lord said to me, no. Go back there and just say he resigned. And here's why. Right? He resigned for failed health and scandals in the Vatican. And that is exactly, and I wrote this book and wrote it and sent it to the publisher on the first day of July, and he resigned around the 1st of February or late February. So, you know, there was 9 things, and that's one of them. And I can tell you right now, it's not because I got a great imagination. I'm telling you, I let the Spirit of the Lord help me write that book, just kind of inspire me to write it, because I really don't, I wouldn't know how to have done it. And the book I'm writing right now, Jerusalem Jihad, is a sequel to that. So it's from perspective of a young couple living in Jerusalem. That's partly why I went to Jerusalem in May. I wanted to walk the streets again. I wanted to feel, I wanted to smell the air. I wanted to see the locations. I wanted to identify with things to put in the book. And I got a lot of fresh revelation from the Lord when I was there writing. So it's inspired by the Lord. It'd be a separate book. It's a sequel to Mark of the Beast.
Beautiful. Well, I'll tell you, you're a very talented author, pastor, and even more talented pastor, speaker, and talk show host. You've got a wonderful program. I just want to thank you so much for your service. You do so much for the body. What I'm beginning to believe, the formation of a remnant, I don't even know if that's accurate. But I'll tell you, we are in some really, really trying times right now. But I just want to thank you for all that you do. And folks, you can visit Pastor Paul's website at paulbegleyprophecy.com. Now, with that, Pastor, Joe has finally finished with the nuances, everything you do with police, you know, after something bad happens and the interviews. So, Joe, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Very clear. All right. Well, welcome back. And even if you are tardy, we'll give you a hall pass this time for good reason.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I wouldn't want a demerit on my record, but I was just a little tied up with some personal things and got that taken care of, and I'm pretty wiped out, but I'm ready for this show. I'm excited for this show. We had a great time on Pastor Paul's show earlier today. Guys, go check out the archive on the Blog Talk, The Coming Apocalypse, from the 27th today. We were on the first 2 hours. It was a great 2 hours, fun 2 hours, and now I'm ready to go tonight.
Yeah, and Pastor said that there was an altar, or during the altar call, I think, Pastor, 8 people that were saved?
8 people got saved, just 5 to 10 minutes right after you guys left. I just felt led to go straight into an altar call. I didn't do a third hour. I just went straight into an altar call. I felt that you guys had done such a tremendous job bringing out the real-world events, and I felt led of the Lord. I just played a song, went to an altar call, and there was people everywhere just saying, I want to get saved, I want to get saved. We had 8 salvations within 10 minutes after you guys were finishing up there. And I just couldn't wait to share that with you guys tonight. Just praise God. You guys did a wonderful job, wonderful job. I can't – our people love it when, Joe, you and Doug come on the show. It adds a whole new dimension to the show, and you bring out a lot of information that I never do, that I don't have – I'm not privy to, or I don't dig deep enough to, but or certainly you have the contacts I don't. And you bring out tremendous information, and it basically just seasons what they already know to be the truth from a biblical perspective, and it just brings it home, and folks get saved. So I appreciate it so much, so much.
Yeah. Pastor Paul, we got into the Middle East a little bit earlier on your show. I've been really wanting to ask you. You don't have to give me scenarios or dates or anything like that. If you had to guess with what we're seeing in Syria, the civil war reaching about 100,000 civilians, the United States and the Western interests pumping money into al-Qaeda for weapons and such, the Assad regime fighting back, do you think that – how do you see this ending?
Wow, what a great question. I'm stunned that I heard just yesterday that Vladimir Putin removed all of his troops out of the military base there, Tartarus. And there's not one Russian military personnel in Syria. Now, that isn't because I think he's quitting, but I think that's because he's getting ready to really make some type of dynamic move. And it may be from missiles from aircraft carriers, or maybe it may be his air force. I'm not sure. But I really think that the worst is yet to come. Unfortunately, I wish I could give you a good report and say, hey, I think this thing's going to wind up. There's no end in sight to it right now. America and Russia are on opposite ends of the spectrum. I believe Russia, both sides are bad. You got Assad, his father killed 80,000. He ruled Syria with a rod of iron. Assad has seemed to be more diplomatic and seemed to be better, but he will use any ruthless means possible, including chemical weapons. But on the other side, the Obama administration is backing pure thugs and thieves and terrorists. The Muslim Brotherhood and the al-Qaeda operatives that are involved along with these rebels, they're murdering Christians. Are they going to villages and just behead them? Feed their bodies to the dogs, cut people's hearts out and eat them. They're cannibal. I mean, this is. I see us as Americans backing the worst side, not that the other side is pure as the wind-driven snow. So if I look at the Bible and say, God, what's going to happen? The Lord says, well, the ultimate end is Isaiah 17:1, which simply says, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. But that sounds like maybe a nuclear warhead. But here's why it probably won't be that. Instead, it will be this ugly, systematic, another year, 18 months of outright war, turning Damascus into a pure battleground. And you can find it in Jeremiah 49 in four verses. And I'll read it. It says, in verse 23, it says, concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded in Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxing feeble. It turneth herself to flee. Fear is seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. That's truly going on right now. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore, her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus. So it's going to be a bloody, horrendous conclusion, which ultimately will leave Syria vulnerable and helpless and pretty well destroyed, and will... Unfortunately, gentlemen, I believe it spills over into all-out sectarian violent war between Sunnis, Shiites, and Israel gets drawn into the battle, and then it escalates into a Middle East war. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's nothing good about what's coming the next 18 months in Damascus and Syria. And look for bigger escalation of the Middle East war to involve more nations than just Syria.
Well, okay, I got a question though, Pastor, and when I do research, at least the online open source stuff, I'll go to different forums and kind of to gauge where people are at, you know, and I see a lot of people saying, oh, we've heard this before, or this is the same old kind of thing. It's always every generation looking for the end times. What's different today?
Well, what's different today is you already have a nation called Israel established. See, when God gave Abraham a covenant in Genesis chapter 12, he promised him that he would make him a father of many nations and of a great people. And then David, in Psalms 83, spoke of the nation of Israel and how enemies would say they would want to annihilate it and wipe it off the face of the earth, never to remember again. Well, there was no nation of Israel when David prophesied that in Psalms 83. Matter of fact, Israel was conquered, and for 1,900 years, the children of Israel were basically vagabonds wandering around on the planet. They were not living in the land of Canaan that they had first conquered through Joshua. They went through 1,900, the Babylonians run them out. They got overtaken by the Roman Empire. They basically were wanderers. Israel did not become a nation until May 14, 1948. So the difference now, 65 years after they've been a nation, the difference now is we're living in what would be considered the last generation. For Jesus said, this generation will not pass away till they see the signs of the Son of Man. Well, if from 1948 to today is 65 years, and if a generation fully is 70, this is a different time. There's never been a time like this. And we're getting ready to go into these four blood moons over Jerusalem in year 2014 and 15. And the last time that happened was the 1967 war. And the time before that was 1948. Israel became a nation. And the time before that was 1492 when Columbus discovered America and Spain kicked all the Jews out of Spain. So there is a significant time, not only in the cosmos, not only in the stars with the comet Ison that's coming late this November, and the blood moon's coming up over Jerusalem, but the atmosphere of the world leaders and the surrounding of Israel and the technology, the ability to use nuclear weapons, things are a whole lot more ratcheted up today than it has ever been in history.
Pastor, I went through those numbers, you know, generation from 1948 and thought, you know, but really we don't know God's time for a generation, especially in such extraordinary circumstances as the last days. But we all feel that there is things happening that will culminate in a short manner. And I say short, I mean some 10 years, I would say. Based on at least America would be lucky if we have 1 year left. And as we see all of these people come against America, the sentiment, anti-American sentiment, is so huge now. It continues to grow as we continue to violate other nations with drone strikes, with espionage, with starting civil unrest in their country, and murders, the civilian casualties that we have really built up. The blood on the United States' hands is growing. Iraq now in a full-blown civil war, over 1,000 people dead since April, 26 people killed in a bomb last week. There is hostilities beyond belief in the Middle East, and the conclusion to these hostilities seem to be extreme Islamic governments coming against Israel, as the Bible prophesies about. So I feel that we're in a situation where we are witnessing prophecy in real life, prophecy that 2,700 years ago Isaiah and Ezekiel wrote about. Just like the people that were living when Jesus came that did not believe he was the Son of God, the timeline was given to them by Daniel, really. And it's been figured out, I think, since then, the 490 years, from what I understand. But it's just the same today, just like it was in the days of Noah. The deception is so large that nobody really sees it.
Well, that's exactly right. And matter of fact, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come in the New. Now, the children of Israel did 400 years of bondage under the pharaohs, 11 pharaohs, call all of them named Ramses. They were in bondage for 400 years before a deliverer brought them out through the blood sacrifice of a lamb out of Egypt. But they wandered another 40 years because of their murmur and complaining before they finally made it across Jordan to Canaan. Now, this modern-day time we live in, Jerusalem was conquered many times, but they were for 400 years under the Ottoman Empire. And that did not end until the Balfour Declaration in 1917. And then from 1917 to 1947, they wandered again. They went through a wandering period, much like the children of Israel did, before we were finally made a nation. So what has been will be, what will be has been. Solomon said everything is under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun that hasn't already been done. And Paul said that the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. So to that point, they could see the Messiah was coming in the days when the star of Bethlehem appeared. They were blinded. They hadn't heard. There hadn't been an open vision from Malachi. Till John the Baptist, they couldn't see it, and today they can't see it again that the Messiah is coming. They can't see that time is running out, and the scoffers are there, and the doubters and the complainers. But you're right; we don't know the day or the hour. When I say it's been 65 years, I'm not saying there's only 5 years left. I'm saying we're living in that last generational period. Exactly how that works, I don't know, but we definitely are coming down to the end, as you know.
And as far as looking for a Messiah, we have people that are looking for a Messiah to come on the world stage and fix things, which the Bible clearly states is not the Messiah, but the Antichrist or the Anti-Messiah. The United Nations promotes this belief very highly. They articulate it in documents. The New Age deception, really, the New Age deception is the best term I've heard it used, and it spans from entertainment, music, to governments and international organizations that form, our TV programming, that decide what news gets out. And we talked about this on your show earlier, the willingness to believe in aliens, the people that believe in aliens, that they can save us, that they are, here to help, whether there are aliens or demons, as I'll call them, here trying to appear to help or not. Nobody seems, or very few, especially in the alternative media, none I've seen in the mainstream media, are willing to tell the truth about Jesus. It's like it's a word that is banned in all of the news.
The name of Jesus is a forbidden word. I mean, why do you think Tim Tebow got thrown out of the Jets and literally got basically blackballed from the NFL? I mean, he finally got to crawl on the team with New England. He'll get to hold a clipboard at $300,000 a year when he was making $2 million. And
Pastor, I have a prediction on Tim Tebow.
Okay.
I think he's going to win a Super Bowl as a quarterback in New England if there's time left. Because
I hope so. I would love to see it. I mean, you know what? I would love to see it.
That's the way God works in these interesting miracles, and I can see that happening very easily.
I hope you're right. I'm pulling for him. I never thought I'd pull the New England Patriots. Being a Colts fan, it's been Tom Brady's a thorn in Peyton Manning's side when Peyton was with the Colts all those years. But I will now pull for the Patriots just because they stepped up and took Tebow. No one else was going to. So.
And that's why they said they did, because he was not being treated fairly because of his beliefs. And the only reason that the teams did not want him, was the publicity that comes with those beliefs. And that is hogwash in my mind.
That is liberal progressivism. That is liberal. That is antichrist spirit. I'm telling you, that is an antichrist spirit, and that's a forbidden name. And they know that young man will say, "I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ" every time they stick a microphone in front of him, and they can't deal with it. And that's the honest to God truth.
And that way, every time he wins, that microphone's in front of his face, and he'll probably win a lot, and that's the problem. But, you know, the basketball, let's celebrate somebody coming out proclaiming homosexuality, not blacklisted, celebrated, called by the president. And we talked about earlier the national cathedrals and other Christian organizations and churches celebrating. I mean, not just, you know, I mean, they're ringing their bells in happiness, having special services, celebrating. The White House celebrating, the Pentagon, the day before the rulings came down, celebrating gay pride, gay marriage. I mean, and I've found an interesting article I'd like to read one sentence out of, because when I read this, I was pretty stunned, because they mocked God openly in the Huffington Post. They talked about how they were celebrating the fact that homosexuals will now be treated fairly, just like God wants. And it was said in a way, I'm going to find it, go and read it, and it'll sound better when I do. But they made it sound like this is something that God is accepting, making the distinction between God loving and accepting all people, but accepting the sin. And here, I found the article right here.
Okay.
It says the announcement. Oh, okay, here. It says, I'm looking for this keyword God here. And when I read this, I was shocked that this was something that just blew me away. We are ringing our bells at the cathedral to celebrate the extension of federal marriage equality to all same-sex couples, modeling God's love in lifelong covenants.
What?
Yeah, from the National Cathedrals, Rick Weinberg. We are ringing bells at the cathedral to celebrate the extension of federal marriage equality to all the same-sex couples, modeling God's love in lifelong covenants.
Outright, flat-out lie, okay? And someone, and I got a ton of hate mail. I don't know if you guys know this. I did a video yesterday because this news, breaking news, came on just as I was getting ready to go on the air. I did a YouTube video that the Supreme Court had overruled DOMA and had overruled Proposition 8. So I did a YouTube video on it yesterday. And I just checked it a second ago. Let me just see. It's a little over 24 hours. This has over 10,000 views. But, and that's a lot of views for 24 hours, but 203 people like it and 167 don't. And I got a lot of hate mail sent to me on my email, my Facebook pages, everywhere you can turn. It's like everybody that could crowd or wherever. I don't know where they all came from, but I was getting hated on. And their whole point was wrong. They think that I hate gay people. That's the furthest thing. I'm full of the love of God. I love all people. But your sins will bring you to hell. The sin will destroy you. You cannot. The marriage is so sacred in the eyes of God that God compares his love for humanity, his son being the bridegroom, and we are the bride. I mean, think about how sacred. So Lucifer knows that. He hates that relationship between God and man. So he perverts. It's not good enough that homosexuality is going on. Lucifer doesn't want just for people to be gay or lesbian. He wants to pervert the definition of marriage. And America has committed a cardinal, gigantic, abominable sin yesterday. And it will bring judgment upon us of some sort. I'd like to read three verses in Isaiah chapter 1, and I'll get right back to you. Because Doug mentioned the remnant. He mentioned it. Thank God we're like a remnant of you guys, myself, and all of our listeners here, and some of the other wonderful ministers and broadcasters out there. In Isaiah chapter 1, and we're the reason judgment hasn't completely collapsed America. And here's what it says. In Isaiah chapter 1, Israel was way off track, and the Lord said these words in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Verse 4, O sinful nation, just pretend he's speaking to America here, because we are a covenant nation. We found it on the covenants of the Word of God. They didn't get off the Mayflower packing Korans. They didn't get off the Mayflower with little Buddha statues. They got off the Mayflower, folks, with Bibles in their hands and dedicating this land of an opportunity for freedom and liberty and the right to worship. So it says in verse 4, O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Verse 5. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. Would you say that's happening right now?
Absolutely.
And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Verse 9, the last verse. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been likened to Gomorrah. If it weren't for the little small remnant of believers, we would have already been consumed like Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm telling you, that's
yeah.
The first day.
Pastor, I'm looking up at the sky constantly expecting things
to
like
change.
Fire and brimstone to rain down.
Right.
I mean, you cannot openly mock God, especially not in the church. How deceived are people in those churches? I hope that they make a stand against their pastors. I hope real pastors, you know, will take that message of loving everybody, and we should love everybody. We should just say, this is not, we can't. You can sit in our church, but we're not going to praise you. We're not going to give you any special status. We're going to look at it as a sin. And we love you. You're welcome to everything here that other members are. But I advise you, you're living in sin. You should change. And if people had a loving attitude toward people, and instead of it seems so many people hate the people, not the sins of the people. And that's why, you know, hearts are being hardened, I think.
Exactly. And this is the thing. I've had homosexual couples come to our Sunday morning services, sit right in the congregation. I mean, it's happened several times. We treat them just like anybody and everyone else. If anything, I'll even go bend over a little backwards and be sure they know that they're welcome to be here. But at the same time, we preach that sin will destroy your soul. You must be born again. And if you die in that sin, no matter what it is, whether you're a heroin addict, an adulterer, a homosexual, a thief, it doesn't matter. If you have to come out of this to get saved. You have to become a different person. Are we saying you're perfect? No. But we're saying you are forgiven by the blood of Christ, and you will see a change. You cannot continue in iniquity. And so... And I've even given the altar calls and they've lifted their hands. I'm not ready to come to the altar, but please pray for me. I don't want to die lost. I mean, in other words, they felt the presence of the Lord. They felt God speaking to them. They weren't ready to come out of it. They knew that if they came to that altar and gave their life to Christ, they would have to change their behaviors. They know it. And that's all I'm required to do is to make sure they know it. I want them to come. But if not, they got to leave knowing that they know they're either they're saved or they know they're not saved. I can't let them walk out of the thinking, I'm okay. It's all right. It'll be fine. No, it won't be fine. Okay? No, it won't be fine.
Amen, Pastor. And I'm going to read a story here, then take us out to break because I have an audio to play that goes with this story. House passes 2004 NDAA. NSA surveillance will lead to indefinite detention. The annual renewal of the National Defense Authorization Act is underway on Capitol Hill. June 14th, by a vote of 315-108, the House representatives passed the fiscal year 2012 version of NDAA, which is known as H.R. 1960. Amendments were added to the defense spending legislation, many of which were approved by either voice vote, or en bloc. And the first method of voting requires no report on how individual members voted. There are amendments here that seem to set back the Constitution and the rights of people accused or suspected of any wrongdoing, and expanding the indefinite detention provisions, making it easier to get around the Constitution. And I have an audio I'm going to play as we go during the break, after the commercial. And we're going to go to that break right now. Folks, you are listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Thursday, June 27, 2013, with our very special guest, Pastor Paul Begley, host of The Coming Apocalypse on Blog Talk Radio and paulbegleyprophecy.com. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time. Check out the show. He has a fantastic show. He's getting people saved. Thousands of people have been saved and asked for the prayer of salvation through Pastor Begley because of his ministry. And we want people, anybody who wants to be saved, send him a message. Go to his YouTube channel. Write a message in there. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
The National Defense Authorization Act, or the NDAA as it's commonly known, establishes the budget for the U.S. military. But the massive bill also has many other provisions with major implications for your freedoms. And last night, the Senate unanimously passed the defense spending bill in a 98-0 vote. Now, we've compiled the top five things you should know about this more than $631 billion bill. And at number five, contractor agreements. This is thanks to an amendment sponsored by Senator Ron Wyden. And what it does is require the Pentagon to disclose when it enters into indemnification agreements. And this is where one party agrees to protect another party from being sued. An example is the KBR, the largest military contractor. A Portland jury ruled that it must pay $100 million in damages for exposing veterans to toxic chemicals. But the company is now suing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers because it says it's protected by an agreement with the Pentagon. And at number four, Cyber Combat Command. This would require the Pentagon to consult lawmakers if it wants to raise U.S. Cyber Command to an all-out combatant command. In other words, Congress needs to know when warfare is shifting from cyber war to actual war. And at number three, embassy security. This provision would authorize up to 1,000 Marine Corps personnel to provide security at U.S. embassies. This, of course, is in the wake of the tragedy in Benghazi, where a U.S. ambassador was among the Americans killed in what was later determined to be a terrorist attack. And at number two, veteran mental health. The suicide rate among members of the military is skyrocketing. This past year, there were more veteran suicides than total soldiers killed in Afghanistan and Iraq since those wars started. An amendment to the NDAA would create a comprehensive suicide prevention program. It would increase accessibility to mental health counseling in the Department of Defense and help mental health care providers get better training. And in at number one, a Gitmo detainee transfer ban. Now, this one is raising the most concern in the White House. This provision would permanently ban the transfer of detainees from Guantanamo Bay to the U.S. Now, the White House has threatened to veto any restrictions on its ability to transfer prisoners to other countries, and that is exactly what this bill does. Well, now that the bill has passed the Senate, it goes to a joint conference between the House and Senate before it heads to the president's desk for his signature. And as you've seen, many aspects of it are controversial, so it's likely its current form could change. In Washington, Liz Wall, RT.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Pastor Paul Begley. That's PaulBegleyProphecy.com and our unofficial spiritual advisor to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Of course, a very prolific author and YouTube maker. I'll tell you, you've got some tremendous YouTubes, Pastor Paul. I want to welcome the new people joining us this hour. We want to say hello to people in Wyoming, Utah, Nevada, California, and all the way down into Central and South America, actually, joining us for this hour. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Of course, our home base, HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. Not to be confused with the tyrannical apparatus that is our own security. What you heard during the break, folks, was a... the NDAA proposition, if you will, that is being now formulated, hammered out. And it's very interesting because we have to pay attention to what is in there. It's interesting the words that are used, you know, as Rush Limbaugh says, words, and he, like him or not, I mean, he says this, words mean things, and they do. And some very interesting verbiage in that clip that was played by Joe. But before we move on, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I just want to say about Rush Limbaugh, I heard him say something the other day that, I don't know if he was being sarcastic or not, but he didn't say it was. He said, when he was coming on air, he said the reason God made radio, he was talking about his show, and, you know, if he wasn't being sarcastic, that's, I mean, speaks to the level of what people care about. But hopefully he was being sarcastic, I don't know.
Yeah, he is really the king of dry wit sarcasm during his radio program. I use that phrase sometimes, too. I mean, you know, that's God made whatever, you know, when, of course, man made this or whatever. But nonetheless, before we move on to the NDAA and Pastor Paul, I just want to say this about the what happened in the Supreme Court yesterday. And I mentioned this on Pastor Paul's show this afternoon, and I just really go ahead.
Did you attend the celebration at the Pentagon the day before, the Gay Pride celebration with Valerie Jarrett giving the address of how proud she was of the Civil Rights Movement, aka free equality, and Bill Clinton was there cheering on the law he had put in place during his tenure.
Isn't that interesting too? You know how he's cheering on the law that was overturned. That he pushed, yeah.
What better example of continuity of agenda?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I want to speak to this. And again, I briefly referenced this, or I referenced this on Pastor Paul's show. So the new listeners today to this show, I just want to drive this point home. What we're seeing here, folks, in my view, based on my professional investigative opinion, is not. It has nothing to do with rights. It has nothing to do with gender equality. It's got nothing to do with equal rights. And what we're seeing, this should be especially evident in light of the fact that homosexuals, now I don't use the word gays, gay to in terms of homosexuality. Again, words mean things. I'm not going to trivialize the act of homosexuality and same-sex encounters by the use of the word gay. But homosexuals comprise a mere 3% of our population. Folks, ask yourself, how have they managed to galvanize or garner an entire nation to redefine traditional marriage between a man and a woman? How is this even possible? And as I said earlier on Pastor Paul's show, I'm a big picture kind of guy. So if we I believe that the answer about this lies in the larger picture. And you might find this a little difficult to believe, but this is part of the internal takeover of America. You've got to go back 100 years to the to Antonio Gramsci, and that's Gramsci. Folks, I would urge everyone to understand the Marxist theology behind Antonio Gramsci. I contend that it is this Antonio Gramsci that this movement, this internal takeover, this captured operation that we have become, that what we're seeing is actually a takeover from within. This Supreme Court decisions, or these Supreme Court decisions regarding same-sex marriages, that also include the Washington Cathedral, the home of our elected officials, many of them, the systematic attacks on the moral fabric of our nation. We've got to understand that what is taking place is not about same-sex marriages, equal rights. This is about the takeover of our country. This is about the movement of our country from being a constitutional republic to that of a Marxist / communist captured operation.
Dan, let me jump in here before I forget. To back up your point, to prove that this is more than just an equality issue, you will see this now that they have what they want, it's not going to stop. You're going to see the agenda being pushed even more. You're going to see such ridiculous policies and different things happen that will prove that they are far from over.
Exactly. And I'm a big believer that we can see the plans. If we look at the larger picture and we'll look at the various plans that have taken place, and again, I don't want to take much of the pastor's time, but folks, I would urge everyone to think about this. 1986, just 27 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld states' rights to enact sodomy laws in the case of Bowers versus Hardwick. Now, back then, Chief Justice Warnberger said, and I'm quoting him, to hold that the act of homosexual sodomy is somehow protected as a fundamental right would be to cast aside millennia of moral teaching. Well, folks, in the book, Naked Communist, that outlines the communist planks, and in the book, The Naked Truth, that revisits the Naked Communist, the first one by Cleon Skousen, the second one by James Bowers, it lays out perfectly the agenda at hand here, what is being attempted, and that is the takeover of the United States, not for just merely a Marxist or communist revolution coup and takeover, but the implementation, the stepping stone, using Marxism and communism as stepping stones for a one-world governance under perhaps the United Nations, and simultaneously a one-world religion, which then circles back around to the bells ringing at the National Cathedral. Think about this. It's a one-world governance / one-world religion. This is what they're after. And I have to say that, look, back in 86, that was 27 years ago. In 2003, Lawrence v. Texas overturned Bowers v. Hardwick. And that struck down the sodomy laws in Texas and, by extension, invalidated the sodomy laws in other states. Now, why is this important? Well, it's because, again, it was contended at that time by Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He astutely saw that through the smokescreen of all this during oral arguments and flatly admonished anyone who would listen that the decision would open the floodgates toward the recognition of same-sex marriage. So it did, and that's the larger picture. And now we find ourselves 10 years later, 10 years after that Supreme Court decision, back in the same position and reinforce now the redefinition of marriage, the redefinition of our morality, the rending of our moral fabric. And that's why, folks, that's why people like Pastor Paul Begley, who has written books and has done videos, is trying to educate everyone on what's really going on. And this is why we have him on the program to explain how close we are to seeing this implemented, because America is the only speed bump between complete freedom, or the freedom that we once enjoyed, and complete tyranny, that of the New World Order. And with that, welcome back, Pastor Paul Begley. Are you serious?
I am so serious, and I was just enjoying the dissertation you guys are doing there, because in all reality, you're absolutely correct. The world is converging, bringing it to a head of the ultimate battle in the end. And our society has become so hypocritical. For instance, you just mentioned a Supreme Court decision 27 years ago, fully giving rights to the states to manage their own sodomy laws. And the fact that DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, was so good at the time in 1996 to help elect President Clinton to a second term. Yet now it is unconstitutional. And first of all, the Supreme Court's job is not to rewrite laws, but to just merely interpret the Constitution, not to rewrite the Constitution. And here's the biggest hypocrite of all, Bill Clinton. And I'm going to say this, here's how I'm going to say it. If I was President of the United States and I signed into law a bill defending the institution of marriage, there's no way in the world 17 years later I'm going to stand up and applaud when somebody revokes that bill. If it was good then, it's good now. What in the world happened? We've evolved as society. What, are we reptilians of some sort? We've crawled out of some kind of egg or something? We've seen the light? It's so beautiful. We can see the light now. No, what I see is the pits of hell just around the gates, very close to us. You can almost smell the embers burning. And many of the lawmakers and the judges, I just wonder, I keep asking this question. Is the NSA wiretapping, drone, all of this information that Edward Snowden has revealed to the world that has been going on, has there a lot of dirt been gathered on guys like Justice Kennedy or Chief Justice Roberts?
Yeah, Pastor.
Why are these guys completely swinging left from their conservative roots? What in the world is going on? What leverage is over their head? Is that possible?
Yeah, that's probably why they're in that position that they are in, is because the ability to be compromised or bribed. But we would be easier to talk about what the NSA is not spying on, and maybe leaves on trees, maybe, you know, fish in the ocean. But other than that, I think they are looking at everything. And, you know, what I say is, as much as it bothers
though,
me, we know that
Joe,
the court is watching us also, everything we do, no matter where we are, what we're doing. And we need to be concerned about that. But this is a violation of our rights, I believe. But I think we're beyond our rights. I think we need to be for God's will more than our rights.
Yes, I agree 100%. The Bible supersedes all man's laws and institutions. I mean, I truly believe in a rule of law in any free society, or it would implode. It would fall apart. It would be overtaken by those strangers within it, as I was just reading in Isaiah 1. But let me read to you what it says in Revelation 13. When you start talking about this new world order, what we have here is we've got a total joke going on in Washington. I mean, when's the last time that the Senate and the House has even passed a budget? That sits so far from anybody's thought process right now. As a matter of fact, the president's spending a month in Africa running around in Senegal, wherever he's at. Nobody's yet addressed the IRS scandal, the Benghazi scandal, the Fast and Furious scandal, the wiretapping scandals. I mean, it's just a joke. No one's been terminated. No indictments. There's nobody been held accountable. And while that's going on, we're watching the Supreme Court literally throw our way of life out the window, and the bells are ringing, the rainbow flags are waving, and on the churches are embracing it, and it's absolutely abominable what's going on. But here's what the Bible said would happen in Revelation 13. And the Lord said, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, which could be the seven continents of the earth, and ten horns, which could be the ten sectors that's already been drawn out by the New World Order or the Illuminati. And those horns had ten crowns, which could be ten kings that rule those sectors and would all answer to the Antichrist. And upon their heads were the name of blasphemy. So, and they all worshiped, of course, the dragon who gave power to this beast or this one world government. And of course, there's a sidekick that's going to be the false prophet, which you know, whether it comes out of Rome or comes out of the radical Islam, you know what, it really doesn't matter. It's going to happen. Whether it's Chrislam, some kind of paganistic smokescreen Christianity, twisted one world religion, whatever, it's you can see all this rising simultaneously. And as believers, we can't get lost.
Yeah, it is. And Pastor,
you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And I've been watching MSNBC, and I'm not aware of any scandals. The IRS, they say that they're just doing their job. Benghazi, that's just a human resources issue. The whistleblower leaks are just criminals. And this is what I've been told by MSNBC, and I do take their word for it. So I think the president is very transparent, the most transparent in history, as he says, and they're not hiding anything. But being serious now, it is unbelievable what this man has been allowed to get away with. I could not stand Bush. I thought he was the worst president this country had ever had. And now, what, 6 months into Obama's second term, I think Obama, by default, for increasing the Bush policies, for being more evil than Bush implemented, the drones, the spying, et cetera, label. I mean, he's really come after Christians and freedom. He is the Bush 2.0, and it is just so sad to see people still falling into the, well, we can get 2016 elections and change things, turn things around. Voting will not change anything. We're beyond that point. And
right.
I hope people will understand that.
Well, that's my point. We're beyond that. It doesn't matter which political party's in play. We're past. It doesn't matter about the Supreme Court rulings. We're past all of that. You know, we're in the foundation of the New World Order. We're literally seeing it, the infrastructure of it being assembled. The players are getting in position. You know, Henry Kissinger, how old is he now? 90.
He won't die. He's the father of the New World Order. He will not die.
You can't.
At least 136.
He's going to live longer than Moses to see this thing happen. I mean,
In Erie, there are rumors that he started the 1812 war, but I don't know if those are true.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. And these guys, the Bilderberg groups, the Bohemian Groves, you know, they're all scum bones. I mean, we can trace this thing all the way back. So we can see what's going on. The days of having faith in statesmen, seeing men and women go to Congress that are going to actually represent people. I'm not saying that every person that goes up there is bought into the New World Order. I think there's some good folks that show up there with all good intentions, all rock and roll, ready to go, and they get in there and they run into this massive machine, this monster that's devouring everything in its sight. And you know, the FEMA camps, thank you. The FEMA camps are all built. They're ready to go. The lights are on, sort of like Motel 6. You know, they're keeping the light on. They're waiting for us. And this world is falling apart, folks. So don't put your faith anymore in some savior to show up, some political hero, some Superman going to rise in, some Lone Ranger is going to roll into Washington and turn
it around. Miracles.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, right.
But it won't be the Messiah or the Savior.
No, it'll be the Antichrist. Exactly. And he's coming. He's coming. He might be very close. He may be actually waiting for his number to be called. I mean, that's how close we are.
Interesting. It's looking at this. And I think that's what people, That's the biggest question I have. I look at myself like a normal guy, and of course, a lot of people would take issue with that. But you know, I'm just a normal guy, and I'm trying to make a living and trying to warn people, trying to help people, not wanting to sound the alarm bells too early, certainly not wanting to sound the alarm bells too late. Grab what's real, what we believe to be real based on our findings, and educate people, help people. This is what we try to do. And last night, of course, we had a show about the economy, very well known, or not well known, but very influential financial insider who says, look, the economy, man, it's going down. Right now, we're living in some sort of bizarre world, Pastor, where this administration, as well as other administrations, and folks, forgive what he says about you know, he thought Bush was the worst president in the world, not because of that, but because of his limited scope of knowledge of history. Because Joe, I think you only became of age what when Clinton was or
no
yeah I think
Reagan
no
Reagan was 1983.
You but that's when you were born.
You were born when Reagan was here.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, you came of age.
Clinton was the first president I understood.
Right.
Was there. No, but I do
we
think
we have to look at it
Bush
in a larger sense, though. In a larger,
yeah, yeah. Take,
you know.
You have to take several steps back and look at what, from the foundation of this country and today, is what you're saying, Doug, is we've had good presidents, bad presidents. We've the ebb and flow of democracy. But it's always kind of shook out. This is a different era. This isn't
yes.
the ebb and flow of democracy anymore. This is something strange and alien to us. This is weird. This is something beyond the history books. This is spiritually dark. And this thing, in a matter of fact, in Revelation 13:7, it says it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, that's never happened in America before. We've never had to worry about going to war with our government. But it's a different game now. This is not the same political atmosphere that we've seen. This isn't even the 1968 fiasco Democratic Party nomination was going on in Chicago in 68. This isn't the 60s even. This is not a revolution. This is something foreign. This is something demonic. This is something ugly. Its teeth are razor sharp, and it's about destroying the very fiber of the family, the very fiber of the gospel, the very hope of humanity. This is evil.
Yes.
But wait a second. Joe, I got a question. But hang on a second. Sorry, Joe. Pastor, how can I and others like me, again, we're normal people, I think, at least I like to think I am, we go out and we see, we drive to our jobs or we drive to the store or we shop or we do whatever we do, and we see everything about us going about normally, and it appears on the surface as nothing has changed, yet as you pointed out, Pastor, this very dark, this spiritual darkness is upon us. How do we explain that to people?
Well, let's go back to just a few years ago. Let's go to Nazi Germany. Everything was fine. The economy was thriving. The strongest military in the world. National pride was at the highest it could ever be. And prosperity was everywhere. Yet people were peeking around corners, whispering. Rumors were spreading. Journalists were disappearing. Gestapos were starting to be formed. The secret armies were lurking. See, it looked normal. It looked like everybody was doing what they normally do. But you could feel the darkness. Believe me, the survivors of the Nazi Germany, the survivors, not just the Jews that survived the Holocaust, but the German people themselves were caught in a trap where they had to support the nation's direction or be devoured by it. It looked on the outside like everything was turning just like it should be, like clockwork. But there was a darkness covering the land. There was an evil presence that was there. There was a leader there who had come on the scene who was not normal. He had spent time staring at the spear of destiny as a little boy every night, right at 4 o'clock. The museum in Austria would close at 5. He knew at 4 he could go in free. He would run to the shadow box, and he would stare at the tool that was used to stab Jesus in the side, and he would literally worship it, and he desired to one day be the ruler of the world. I mean, this was something evil, and it was just a shadow of what we're feeling now. What we're feeling now is not one nation, but a world coming under this spirit of darkness.
And that's right, Pastor.
It's in the Bible. What you were
saying earlier about how it's different from previous times when we saw similar things going on with different movements, I think that's because we are seeing the final implementation and completion of Satan's seduction of the world and the people in it, and his kingdom or reign on earth as it is coming about to fruition right now. They're putting the final nails into their plan, whatever it entails, whether resources and plans and everything that they need. But the people are seduced, the leaders are compromised, and they are led by that evil spirit instead of the Holy Spirit.
And Joe, you're exactly right. And what you said about, but you go to the mall, you go down to the grocery store, everything seems to be okay on the surface. But there's this underlying thing. You wake up one day and gay marriage is legal. And you look around your neighbor and say, what just happened? I don't know. They just overturned that. Really? Well, what's our pastor say? Well, our pastor says we should embrace the love of God. Oh, okay. We'll ring the bell. Okay, so we've been boiled like frogs in a pot. We've been told it's okay. Keep going, keep doing. Matter of fact, keep paying your taxes. Matter of fact, we're going to raise your taxes some more. Work harder. Work more hours. Pay more in. We've got more to see about. There's more. We're evolving. You know, people don't have a clue what this ruling just did. What it did was all of the gay and lesbian couples now are going to get married benefits. The amount of millions of dollars going to have to transfer from the Treasury to the gay agenda is unreal in tax benefits, in social benefits. Folks don't know. They can go around and say, well, I just feel good about it. Really? Well, reach in your pocket a little deeper now. Hand it out, because it's going to be going to every abominable thing that you never did believe in before. And you didn't even get a vote. Your lawmakers voted in the Defense of Marriage Act, yet your Supreme Court overthrew it. And you can sit there and hold hands and sing kumbaya if you want to, but your nation is collapsing, imploding from the inside out, and it's corrupt to the core. And I love America. I got sons that defend America, and I still love America, and I pray for America. And I pray for leaders of America, but I say, dear God, what do I do now? He says, you better warn people to flee from the wrath to come. You better spend your time, Pastor Begley, leading these people to Christ and opening the eyes of the blind, because it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse, so you need to cry loud and spare not. I mean, really.
But Pastor, well, let me ask you this, if I might, okay? Because one of the regular listeners know this, and this is something that we struggle with, and you can help us because man, this seems to be the order of the day. We all have, perhaps not all of us, but some of us have spouses. Some of us have loved ones that are close to it, we could sit down and talk with. I mean, consider our listeners like a extended family.
Right.
And the people that listen to your broadcast, our broadcast, broadcasts like this, they are the spiritual and practical, real leaders of their family. They hold some influence over the family to a degree. But this seems like a big hump to get over. Pastor, how do you deal with a loved one, we'll say, that doesn't see the same things that we see, that they think, oh, look, I'm okay. We're watching Dancing with Whatever or whatever show's on. I don't even know what it's on. How do you deal with that? Or better yet, how do you recommend we people listening deal with this? With problems, so to speak.
You know, it's a great question. I have family members that aren't saved, that think that, you know, I've been off the deep end, or or my parents are too holy or too righteous or too religious, and think that, you know. So I take a step back and I say, okay, God, what do I do with my friends, my family, my neighbors, not all my listeners. My listeners, you know, we're preaching to the choir here. Your crowd, my crowd, all of our crowd. You know, these are people that are dying to get the truth. They're not watching, you know, Dancing with the Stars or sending Twitter's tweets to Snooki. But there is a world of people out there who really don't know. They're blind and they're just literally don't have an idea what's going on. The thing we do is love them. We have to just love them. We have to help. Yeah. When they get in a jam, we got to show up and we got to be there for them. They got to see the love of God in us. We really can't. Right. That's the only way we're going to get them. There's no other way to get to them. And once we love them enough, they finally say, what are you really into? Because then they want to know, what is the source of our love? What is driving our love? And that's the only way we're going to get to them. If we try to drive this in their throat or overwhelm them with this information, it'll blow their minds. They'll literally, you know, they'll run away. They'll freak out, you know. So we're just going to have to love them. We're going to have to love them and pray them into the kingdom.
That's right, Pastor. And that's a big problem with a lot of people in the church and people who call themselves Christians. I see so much of tearing down of others, whether it's pride or ego issues or just even arguing, you know, different opinions. And if we're not lifting each other up now as Christians and just don't unite under the salvation that Jesus has given us, we are going to be, I mean, we're hopeless. And if watching Christians tear each other down frustrates me more than any news headline I could ever come across.
You know something? I have a rule. I have a rule here, and the folks that follow me, and you, first of all, that's why I love you guys, because you guys, you tell the truth. You expose the evil, and you talk about really what's going on, but you're very courteous, and you do it with a very professional manner, and you are considerate to other people's views, even if you don't quite agree with them. Even if I say something like, oh, no, baby's way here, you guys don't throw me under the bus. You know, you just kind of work with me, work around me, or change or do something with me. But I have a rule, too, that we do not criticize any ministries. We do not throw names, and we don't throw people under the bus like that, because just because they see something differently, or because as long as, you know, we need not do that, because all that does, and we definitely don't fight with doctrines and start balbering and bruising one another over different beliefs, because it doesn't do any good. And that's exactly what Satan wants, is to divide and conquer the body of Christ. The one thing he can't deal with is unity. It drives him insane. He don't know what to do with unity. So when we say, if we respect each other's beliefs and understandings, and we love one another, then we're a mighty force. And we can learn from each other. And nobody's got it all figured out. I certainly don't. There's definitely guys deeper in the scriptures and theologians way stronger in it. I'm just doing what I can do by part. But every one of us play a part. And that's what I like about you, because you guys are humble. You stand strong when you need that strong backbone. You're not scared of nothing. Yet you show the kindness, and that really makes a difference.
Well, let me correct you on one thing, Pastor. I am afraid of something, and that is that is not doing everything I could possibly do to spread the word and to be correct and honest, and, you know, or not honest, but to be correct to the best of my knowledge. I'm afraid of failure. You know what I mean? That scares me, because we're called as watchmen, and man, I that's a responsibility that I don't remember signing papers for.
You know something? To that point, people ask me, they'll say, you know, how do you, you know, you've been preaching a long time now, so it's probably no problem. But they don't understand it. In 29 years, the thousands of sermons in front of large crowds or small crowds or on the microphone every day, just before I go on the air or just before I walk up in front of a podium of people, I'm nervous for a little bit. Not nervous because I can't do what I'm supposed to do. I'm nervous of who I represent. I'm nervous that I do the right thing, that I say the right thing, that I don't lose my control, because I'm representing the kingdom. And I'm nervous that I'm doing the Father's will. At the end of the day, I want him to be able to say to me, you did a good job today. You weren't perfect. You didn't hit all the points. You forgot scriptures. You mispronounced words. But you did what you were supposed to do, and that was enlighten the people. And you're doing with your best. And Doug and Joe, that's really what you know, you should have a little bit of that concern and nervousness, because it is a huge responsibility what you guys do every night. And you guys went and spoke at a church. I'd love to have been at that. I would have. Did they record that when you guys spoke there? I would have loved to have got a copy.
Yes. And you can get a copy as soon as we get them.
Okay, because I want to get a copy of that. I really do. But
it
that's
was fantastic.
That's my final say to that is, Doug, is we should have a little bit of a gut check. We should be a little bit concerned a little bit and not feel worthy, because that's the perfect position God wants us to be in to do this job.
Pastor, and thank you, by the way, because you reassured me in the sense that I'm not alone in that fear. Because it's to me, because I really didn't seek this position out, you know, it was kind of, we just let go and let God, and bam, we're here. What do you say? This is the other question that we get. There are a lot of people that are alone or lonely at times like this, and they're frightened. They're afraid because they don't have anybody. They may have a dog that they can talk to. Problem talking back, but, you know, what do you say to people who are alone at times like this?
Well, you're never alone. Jesus is always there. And even when you feel alone, he's always there. He never goes to sleep. So he watches over you. He puts his guardian angels to protect you. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. And then for the fellowship part, listening to the Hagmans in every evening, getting your information from them, reading your Bible, fellowshipping one with another, you will find the strength. You'll draw, even if all you're doing is in the chat room. You know, there's like 500 people. They just told me there's 500 people in your, I can't see your guys' chat room, so they told me there's 500 over there. Just to be in with a bunch of people who are similar in faith, similar in vision, and to bounce things off and to pray with one another is such a comfort. And to hear the voice of Joe, you, or your dad, your guys' voice of assurances that, hey, you're not alone out there. We're with you, and we're feeling your pain, and we'll go with you all the way, and we're following Christ, and we need to be realistic of what's taking place around us. And I think that's what I would like to say to those of you that are alone, that you're not ever alone, and you can reach out to any of us, and we'll respond back, or we'll be here tomorrow, and you can pray and know this, that God will never, ever, ever leave you.
Amen, Pastor. And I want to ask you, I don't know, haven't had a chance to listen to your whole broadcast in a while. I've caught bits and pieces here and there, and I still check your YouTube channel just about every morning. Have you had any callers, questions, problems? I see this come up a lot. The best way I can put it is this: people willing to die for America, but not for God. The issue of the coming war that we are facing, spiritual versus carnal. We'll just say that that martial law is implemented.
Right.
People are ready to fight the government, which would be like fighting their brothers, fighting fellow people.
Right.
At this time in our history of the world and of Jesus' timeline, wouldn't it not be more prudent to try to fight for saving souls, dying for Jesus' sake instead of a nation's sake? And from what I understand, the Bible, clearly the prophets, beasts are nations. They call them beasts.
Yes.
The Constitution, so many people say, you know, we have our rights. I have the right. Is that not deceiving? I mean, maybe not. Maybe it wasn't, you know, throughout most of America's history. But at this point in time, is it not deceiving many people into thinking they have some special privilege? Because we know that we're supposed to listen to God and keep His commandments and do what He says. But proclaiming our rights. You know, we can do this, we can do that, almost like without God, but with our own earthly ability. I see this problem growing, and people are not understanding the ramifications of the spiritual aspect. It's a spiritual warfare. I mean, you can have all the bullets and guns in the world, but how's that going to help you to fight demonic spirits?
It won't. The weapons of our warfare, Paul said, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are in a spiritual battle. Yes, it will take on some physical confrontations, but we should not be building up a militia or an army on how we're going to overthrow a corrupt government. You're not dealing with a corrupt government. You're dealing with a demonic spirit, a principality, a power, an end-time battle. And so it's a waste of time to prepare yourself to fight in the flesh. You're not going to win. When the world becomes one government and every nuke is on the same side, what are you going to do then? It's not about that. It's about how are you going to fight the spirit of darkness by winning souls to Christ, by getting your family to see Jesus. And I'm not saying if somebody broke in my house right now, look, if somebody broke in my door right now, tried to break in, they would have to resist me. Okay? And Jesus said that to me. He said in Matthew 24, you know, he said that if the good in the house knew what hour somebody was coming, they wouldn't have let their supper to be broken in. Joe, if you'd have known last night someone was going to rob you, you would have been waiting for them. You didn't
Absolutely.
Know. Okay? And you would have had the spiritual obligation to be waiting for them. You would have been given the moral compass by God to do it. Jesus even said, you would have done it. We would have all done it. Well, that's not the situation we're in. We're not in a battle. This isn't we're not trying to create a revolution here. The big battle is in the spiritual world. And we would be much better off to be willing to give our lives for Christ because in the end, it's all that's going to matter is were we serving him, were we trusting him, were we walking with him. So you're exactly right. Put your energies, folks, into the kingdom of God and to winning the souls. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So put your focus there. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a good, timely word.
Well, you know why? Because there's going to be some Christian revolutionists that are going to rise up that are going to try to call Christians to arms. We've had our crusaders. Those days are over. I mean, this is a different time.
Right.
This is
we
a different battle now.
We have no part or purpose in rebellion, as the Bible says. We have no purpose in calamity or strife. We have a purpose in love and being as an example as close to Christ as possible.
But see, Pastor, not Joe, see, people will take your words as, and Pastor, we get this all the time, people will take Joe's words as saying, well, I'm just going to lay down and not fight.
No.
Right, and this is the problem. They take it as, they hear something, people hear something, and then they formulate an opinion based on a misconception of something they think I was assuming to or referring to.
Right. What they're doing, they're assuming Christianity is soft. We're meek, but we're not weak. Okay?
We're called to overcome.
We're the overcomers. And when the rubber hits the road, and let's say they're arresting people, and they're going house to house, and they're taking people, the last house they want to go into is to a God-fearing home, because I can tell you, they're not fighting against me, you, or someone else. They're literally going to be going up against the guardian angels with flaming swords of the Lord. They have no idea what they're dealing with. And that is the weapons of our warfare. We're going to gather our children. We're going to run to the hill, whatever we got to do. We don't know how far into the beginning of sorrows we got to go. We don't really know how far we got to go. So things are going to get worse. I know they're going to get worse. The thing is, I would rather have Christ on my side as I wrestle my way through this mess than, you know, we're not going to just lay down and let them have it. But at the same time, we're going to go recruiting militias to go around trying to rise up a rebellion. That would be counterproductive. So we have to, there's a fine balance in this, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And I think that's what they're doing. Doug, to Joe at times. Yeah. They're perceiving his words as weakness when really it's the opposite, it's strength.
And you said that so well. And it is our carnal mind. And I understand because, you know, we could go back a year and listen to our archives. I was saying the opposite of what I am now. I was saying, you know, we need to take back America, and it was however we need to do it. We need to reinstate our constitutional rights. And the more I've read the Bible, the more I've prayed, the more I've been shown things, the more I understand that we need to save souls and protect each other with our lives and love everybody no matter what. And that is what we're called to do.
You know what it is? There was a time in history, and all through history, nations had to be birthed and born, and struggles ensued to make that happen. But we're past all of that now. This isn't about building nations anymore. This is about a one world government forming, and its enemy is the redeemed of God. The Bible says it right there in Revelation 13, verse 7, the beast, and it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. So this is not about fighting a revolutionary war or, you know, some nation protecting itself. This is way bigger than all of that. There is no, going to be no more boundaries. There's going to be the governments are going to get together, whether it's from a major market crash, an economic catastrophe, a nuclear annihilation. There could be 10 nukes go off tomorrow. Can you imagine this? 10 different cities in the world, 10 different nations. A nuclear bomb could go off because of misunderstandings or whatever. There could be 40 million dead people and fallout everywhere. And the world would just call timeout and say, we got to fix it from humanity's standpoint. And all of a sudden it becomes a one world government. And then they start looking around, well, who is the expendable? And I'm telling you right now, two names that go on the list, Jews, Christians. They're expendable.
Yeah,
they got weird thoughts, and they're right wingers, and they're more work trouble than they're worth. And we need to eliminate. I mean, this is the mindset that goes on in the last days.
That's exactly right. And Pastor, in your church, do you see people as understanding not only the times we're in, the severity of what could possibly be on the horizon? Are people getting it? Are they reaching out to other people and trying to help others? Because I see a lot of churches where, you know, the church seems to be left at the door on the way out. And it's sad. And then we have the other side, the gospel of inclusion, as you say, and the churches ringing the bells in celebration of gay marriage. How is it best?
My church would probably, as far as understanding the end times, I would say probably 30% probably understand the end time scenario that we're in. But about 80% of the church, our congregation, understands the Great Commission, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to win people to Christ. Because we constantly get people saved all the time. Even though we're a church of 100 people, we're constantly getting people to come to Christ. So we broadcast our Sunday morning services live on the internet, and they embrace it. Some churches are so holy, they won't let the camera in. I'm saying if whatever you got in there you can't share with the world, you might want to change, cleanse the lens, and change the program. If you're too ashamed to share it, you ain't got much, okay? So we're an evangelistic church. I'd say 80% of our congregation understands the Great Commission, but probably only 30% really comprehends that we're in an end time. And they got an end time preacher, okay? It's because the comprehension of that is difficult for people. A lot of them are new Christians, elderly people. You know what I'm saying? It's a genre of different.
Yeah.
It's a mixed bag there, and it's a different situation. But our church, probably more than most, are alerted to the end times.
I'm going to ask you as a pastor, what have you found as the most effective way to reach people in a way that they understand that their spiritual health is most important, without offending them, without scaring them, I know, you know, coming to them with love and openness and sharing your information if they're willing to hear it. But I just see so many people not even willing to hear it because they see they have a preconceived notions of Christians trying to force their beliefs on people or that they're rude in their delivery. Have you found a way to kind of break through the misconceptions while delivering a message of truth at the same time?
Yes, let me tell you what the ingredient is be real. Be honest and be real. Don't bring this fakey, you know, hypocritical, smiley type message to them and don't just show up and punch the time clock and go home. They got to know that when you're speaking to them, and when you're talking to them, whether I'm preaching in the pulpit or as I do every service, I go to the front door and I shake every hand as people leave. That's part of what I do. And I do that with 100 people or 500 people, or when I was in Jamaica, 5,000. Oh, that was difficult. They had too many doors. I couldn't keep them. I couldn't get to them all. What I found out is just be real. Just people got to know that you are what you say you are. And if they can, and then when you talk to them on their level, and you're able to say to them, look, this is really serious. There is a heaven you can go to, but there's a hell also for those who refuse and reject God. And that's not God's plan for you. God doesn't want you to go that direction. But I would be lying to you, and I wouldn't be real with you if I didn't share with you the truth. Now, if you'll come to God, you'll find the joy that's unspeakable. You'll have a peace like you wouldn't believe. And no one's perfect. And if you follow me 10 minutes, you'll find out I'm not. So don't put your eyes on me. Put your eyes on Christ. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger, but at the same time, don't idolize him either. And be real with people. And it comes down to that. Yes, the love is all, of course. But it really comes down to they got to feel when they're done, they got to walk out of that church house. Or when they're done with a program like you have, they got to be able to, when they turn the lights out, they got to say, you know what? Those guys are real. I like what they're saying. I don't agree with everything, but I know one thing. They mean well. The Hagmans mean well, and they're wanting me to find my way to Christ. And I got to take a look at that. They're not fakey. They're not phony. That's the bottom line. So that's the bottom line. Be real.
Well said. And that's all we try to be is I often say is what you see and what you hear is what you get. I mean, we, you know, the good, the bad, and in my case, the ugly and the old. You know, I mean, it's. We try to be as real as possible without the hyperbole and without the, with that sense of urgency yet, you know, still, because time is short. And Pastor, speaking of time, you've been so generous with your time today, having us on for your show for 2 hours. And, of course, you spending 2 hours here. My goodness, it feels like, we could do a marathon of this. What a blessing it's been to have you with us. And to spend the 4 hours together, what a blessing. Really.
And look at all the people. I mean, the people are everywhere. I mean, they're listening everywhere.
Wonder, yes.
I can't figure out why they want to come back again. I mean, it's like, what, how much more can they handle? Are you guys serious? I mean, are you crazy? What? Praise God.
I'll tell you what, you've got some great YouTube videos, you've got great books, you've got a great website, you've got just a great following, a great ministry. Pastor, your show again is, the real time is 12 to 3 Eastern. Your time, of course, is 11 to 2, correct?
Yeah, 11 to 2 on Blog Talk on Central, yes.
Okay, all right.
I'm here in Indiana, half of Indiana is Central and half is Eastern. Where I live in Lafayette is Eastern, but my church is on Central. So,
wow, talk about scheduling.
Yeah. And get this, but my church is further east than I am. Can you grab that one? Could somebody talk to the lawmakers in Indiana about that one?
Wow.
West Lafayette is close to the Illinois line and is Eastern time. Knox, Indiana, where my church is in the center of the state, and is on Central. It doesn't make sense.
So when you leave for church, you've got to leave what, an hour?
I have to leave an hour earlier. Yes, I have an hour and a half, hour and 40-minute drive. I have to get there at 8. I have to be there. It starts at 11, but that's 12 my time, which means I get out of service at 2, you know, 2 o'clock. By the time I drive home, grab a bite, and prepare, I got to get to the 7 o'clock broadcast for 3 hours on Sunday night. So my wow. Sundays are pretty full. I mean, that's the longest day of my week is Sunday.
Wow.
On Sunday.
Just the math doing that, Joe, would blow my mind. I mean, I have a problem with buttons and trying to figure out what I'm doing in one time zone, let alone two. Holy
the YouTube
cow.
Videos to your show, focusing mostly on saving souls and getting that spiritual news, spiritual information out there. You are a key asset to the spiritual battle that is going on right now. And even though our future looks rocky on this earth, our treasures will be stored up in heaven if we remain obedient and doing what he calls us to do. I want to thank you so much for what you do, because it makes such a big difference, and it even makes our job a little bit easier too.
I got one request, guys. My little granddaughter Summer, and a lot of them have seen, sometimes she breaks into my studio here and runs in and gets in the camera and says, "Are you serious?" Okay. She's undergoing surgery tomorrow morning. She has an abscessed tooth, her mouth, her jaw sticking out this far. She's been in the emergency room this afternoon. They gave her IV antibiotics, and they're bringing her back with an oral surgeon tomorrow. She's a sweet little girl, 4 years old. And I'd ask that everybody pray for her, because tomorrow sometime she's going to be in surgery. And so I'm going to be on the air tomorrow, but I don't even know what time the surgery is scheduled for. I haven't scheduled. So we'll figure out how that works, but just want you all to pray for her.
What's her name again? I'm sorry.
Her name is Summer.
Summer, okay.
Summer Begley.
Indeed, she will be in our prayers, as will you. That's always a tough, you know, when children, that's tough.
It's tough.
But I'll tell you what, we have a good and loving God, and she will be in our prayers, as will you. Pastor, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I just want to say we're serious. Indeed, we are serious. And we have to send you out a shipment of coffee.
Please don't. I just got, you're not going to believe this. No, listen to this. I just got a shipment of coffee, just came in, about 5 pounds of coffee. I've already got ten pounds of coffee. Somebody sent me a brand new grinder. I mean, a very nice grinder. And I just yesterday, a bun coffee pot arrived here. I was drinking coffee out of it all day today. Just wonderful. And I've got more coffee. Don't send me no coffee. Unless you're sending me Tom Horton.
Tim Horton, but that's okay.
If you run across that, a little bag of that would be okay, because I don't have any of that, and I like that. That's good. I can mix it in with everything else I got going here.
Perfect. Perfect. Consider it done. It'll be on its way tomorrow. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Yeah, Joe? Name my day. For coming on your show, you can on our show. It is always a blessing. It is always fun.
Yeah. I look forward to you guys coming back on again. We'll have you back soon, because it's very enlightening and informative, and it really helps the show a ton. It gives people more of a deeper perspective of what's going on than what I can do. So I truly appreciate you guys coming on. You guys are doing great. Got a great show, and you're just awesome guys, and we love you for that.
All right, my brother. God bless. Thanks for being with us.
All right.
Folks, we love
you
too.
And break.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, indeed.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. We're a little bit late for the top of the hour. This is the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is Joe Hagman. Together, we present the news in 3D. We're going to be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, Doug Hagman here. I just want to talk to you about AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You know, they heard our call some time ago to provide Bibles to those in need. And I just kind of want to give you an update here. We're working now to the folks, if you've sent requests to us for Bibles, we've got them, we're working on them, and we're going to be taking care of that here in short order. But I just want to say this: American Survival Wholesale is a company that we respect greatly. It's a wonderful company run by two great people. They've partnered up with other sponsors, anonymous listeners, to provide Bibles to those people who need them and can't afford them. And there are people out there that live paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth, that really can't afford a nice full-size King James Version Bible. Now, they answered our call. They came to the table and they said, "Look, we're gonna do this thing. In fact, our goal is to ship out 1,000 Bibles to those who need them." And we're happy to tell you that American Survival Wholesale, having stepped up, this is going to be getting done here. Now, this is how you can come in. This is how you can help. This is where you come in, folks. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Now, I've never been more serious in my life. You just heard 2 hours with Pastor Paul Begley. You heard last night, V and Steve Quayle, how close we are to things getting very bad. You cannot depend anymore on your grocery stores being filled to capacity with food. I don't have a good feeling about things coming up here. I don't have a good feeling about it. I mean, look at what's on the movies coming out. White House Down, all of these movies that we're seeing. Are we not looking into a window maybe of something going on taking place here? Look, I don't know the answer to that. I do know, however, that things are changing, and they're changing rapidly. If you haven't made preparations, or even if you need to top off your preparations, go to American Survival Wholesale. They've got GMO-free food throughout. GMO-free Thrive brand products. Every order that they receive covers 1 to 2 Bibles, the shipment costs, and the cost for 1 to 2 Bibles. So do us a favor. If you need to top off, and I think everyone does, their long-term food storage, go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com and order any of their GMO-free foods. And with that, that will offset the shipping costs of the Bibles to those in need. This is one of those times in your life, in our lives, that we can make a difference. We can give the greatest gift of all, the Word of God, to someone in need. And on top of that, ourselves receive a great product. Go there now, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Now, if you have any questions, you can email them at bugoutamerica@usa.com. By the way, if you'd like to donate your GMO-free product to those who cannot afford it, in other words, if you want to order it, but you don't need it, you want to ship to someone who does need it, American Survival Wholesale will ship the food out to the people you designate, or to the people they feel need it, to the listeners in need, as directed by Joe and I, so or through your recommendation. Now, the other thing, too, and this is something we're working on, folks. Once again, great people, Salt of the Earth people, American Survival Wholesale, they've got a camping package. And this is something that we have to think about. If the grid goes down, or if there are issues, catastrophic issues, we're going to need perhaps some sort of way to survive in the open. They've got this camping collection, and I've got to tell you, it's a class collection. We don't promote anything we haven't seen or looked at or used ourselves. This is a sample of what they've got. You can get an Alpine tent with an adult sleeping bag, plus a portable cook stove with 9 pouches of fuel, a stainless steel 6-in-1 camping tool. And to top it off, they're throwing in an 18-inch camouflage backpack with a water bottle for $149. Now, I know for a fact this retails for double that amount. But here's the thing. To keep our program going, they're going to donate 25% of their proceeds to us from that package. So if you are in need, if you look at your supplies and say, you know, we're a little bit short here with outside equipment, well, this is one package that'll come in handy. And I can tell you, I know somebody who has ordered this. I've seen the product, okay? Folks, it's a class product. It's worth every penny and more. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Do it today. Do it for your family. Do it for the right reasons. And that's to help spread the word of God to everybody. And one last thing, too. Switching gears, I just want to mention two bits of housekeeping here. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Holdings is going to be on our program during the second 2 hours of our show. Now, Daniel Holdings wrote a book. It is As the Darkness Falls. You can view his website at danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. He had contacted me earlier in the week, and it seems to me, and Joe and I were talking about this earlier in the week. Well, it seems to me that everyone's saying, my goodness, things are happening so fast. Time is short. He said the same thing. And he said, you know, there are things that I feel in my heart that I would like to tell your listeners since his last appearance in February. And I said, brother, come on. And so Daniel Holdings, a very prolific author, a man of God, will be on tomorrow night. So make sure you mark that on your calendar. Tell friends, family, and prepare for a great program tomorrow night. And now the second thing before we come back is this. We have just tremendous people sponsoring us as well. Granlund Firearms. I've got to tell you, Lori and Carl Granlund, what a great couple. What great people. They're up in British Columbia. Now, they also deal in survival products, hunting supplies. And to those people in Canada, in British Columbia, or wherever you are in the world, Carl and Lori Granlund can help you with whatever purchases you might need. For example, they've got a gun stock list, their guns in stock, long guns. If you're in the United States, and I've talked to people who have done this, who have ordered long rifles from Granlund Firearms. Just go to a federal firearms license dealer, and you can make the purchase that way. Or if you're in Canada, that's the place to go. That is the place to go for your firearms needs. Their prices are competitive. Their products are great. They've got all sorts of hunting and survival equipment. They've got great T-shirts, by the way, and hats. And Carl wrote a book, Treed by the River. It's a great read if you like to read about cougar hunting on Vancouver Island. It's just a tremendous read. Tremendous people. The love and support that we have as an extended family. What great people. I am so proud to have such great sponsors. We are so proud. Joe and I are. That's Granlund Firearms of British Columbia. Just go to GranlundFirearms.com. Go to HomelandSecurityUS.com. Click on the link. It'll take you up there. And sign the guest book. Tell them Joe and Doug sent you. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this, the 27th day of June 2013. We have a situation with our audio, apparently. I know. Can you hear us? Can you hear us? Folks, if you can hear us, let's see here. Yes. Okay, good. All right. For some reason, we just went blank. Isn't
okay,
that interesting? There we go. There we go. For some reason, Joe, all of a sudden.
Yeah,
no, you didn't
knock me off?
Well,
go ahead.
Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah, I can. Yep.
Okay. What happened was my entire switchboard just winked up. So, go figure.
Well, yeah.
I guess perhaps they figured we were done. But anyway, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number three. What's this?
I don't know. I just accepted Troy's call, and I hear this noise, and I don't know what it is.
Hang on. Let's talk to the AM station.
That's pretty weird.
Could this be an AM station breaking through here?
I doubt it.
All right. Well, folks, can you hear that music?
All right, Troy, I'm hooked up as a guest list caller, and I'll just leave it at that. I was hearing this weird music. I don't know if you guys heard that. But, yeah, my Skype dropped off when you were in the middle of your live read, and then it was making this weird noise when I tried to call back. My internet got cut off. It turned back on, and then
everything is now lit back up, and we're fine. So it's interesting how that works out. Welcome back, folks. Hour number three of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this tumultuous Thursday edition. That was a great 2 hours with Pastor Paul Begley, wasn't it?
It was 4 hours between his show and our show.
It was
fantastic. And I just love Pastor Begley, his energy, his ability to proclaim the word of the Lord with such, I'd say, his charisma and love. And he does.
Yes, yes.
I've seen, you know, the things that have been said to him in multiple days, weeks in a row, that the evil, I mean, just completely evil. I've heard the prank calls that people, he call into a show and start swearing, and he does not get hostile. He treats them with love and prays for him. He is a man of God, and he is somebody I admire, and he's our spiritual advisor to the show, and I don't think we could have a better one between him and Pastor Langford.
I was going to say we can't forget Pastor Langford.
We really can't start single names, but you know, Pastor Paul is somebody I've been paying attention to for a while. Actually, it was introduced to him through YouTube, watching his videos, and connected with him one day, asked him to come on the show. This is when we just started, and he said yes, and I was you know, like a little kid in a candy store, so happy. You know, that we got him on the show, and from there we've just been going back and forth, and we've had a great relationship, personal and on the radio, and I am very thankful that we can be part of his ministry as guests, and that he comes here on our show.
Well, what we're going to do this hour is we're going to go over some important, what we believe to be very important information, and then take your calls. 661-244-9839. That's 661-244-9839. Topping this off, folks, I don't know whether you saw this or not. The Tea Party, the Taxed Enough Already, which a lot of people don't remember. That's the acronym for the Tea Party, is being called the top terror threat in the United States. Now, why we think this is significant is the composition of the Tea Party, primarily the most vocal, it would appear, perhaps the most vocal, are the Christians. But 1/4 of the people across America who supports Obama. Now, obviously, the poll seems a little skewed. If you support Obama, you're going to fit within this. I would say that, yeah, the poll would indicate this. But 1/4 believe that the Tea Party is the biggest terror threat to the United States. This, according to Rasmussen. Now, this survey was conducted last weekend. 1,000 likely voters took part in the survey. The margin of error is 3 percentage points with a 95% level of confidence. Now, if for those sticklers for scientific fact, that's pretty high, okay? The thing about this that bothers me, and it's not, I know the World Net Daily had come up with the story initially, but what bothers me is the composition of the survey. Now, if you look at this, it talks about a number of questions about American security topics, nuclear weapons, anti-missile defense, so and so on. But what it does, what it also talks about, is the divisiveness between the ideologies of Islam and Judeo-Christian principles. Now, the 13%, the survey revealed that 51% of likely U.S. voters think that Islam is a bigger threat today to the United States. However, and this is what this poll does not, an angle this poll doesn't get into. However, the divide here between non-Christians and Christians is widening. Okay? Where the militia is being associated with, or militia groups are being associated with the Tea Party, which is being associated with Judeo-Christian people of more having moral values. And this is what I think that people need to understand. This is where the what I'm saying here is, this is, I believe, and Joe, you can chime in on this, I believe that this is an attack, an affront against Christianity as they begin to draw in anyone who talks against, for example, the anyone who talks against the well, we'll say the gay or homosexual agenda, the homosexual, I almost made a mistake myself here, the homosexual same-sex marriage. Joe, have you...
this issue is very upsetting to me, and I expected as much from the Supreme Court. There are a few things that are up for vote, and I expect whatever is right, whichever way is right, to vote, just expect the rulings to be the opposite of right, or what we would consider right, because that's the way it's
right.
going
to
be.
You're correct. But the other thing, too, is, now I'm going to go back to this poll, because it does break this down into income categories. And folks, think about this. Those who earn six-figure incomes, 21% consider the Tea Party the bigger threat. Now, just 2% say the same of the Occupy movement. But among Americans who earn less than $30,000 a year, less than half of that consider, well, about half that consider the Tea Party the bigger threat. So I guess what I'm saying, we're being divided along not only religious lines, but the divisiveness is occurring now on socioeconomic lines as well. That's a frightening situation, in my view.
Yeah,
I
understand that. Yeah, and I can't stress this enough. The Pentagon, Valerie Jarrett, Obama holding the gay pride ceremonies at the Pentagon, the same place where Mickey Weinstein called preaching the gospel spiritual rape. They are embracing pure evil. The executive branch embracing pure evil and the culture of death through drones, abortions, wars, etc. We have our judicial branch, our legislative branch promoting evil. We have the lobbyists putting the money up to promote that evil. We have the news organizations receiving that money to compromise on their own values in some cases, or it doesn't matter, it's just about the money, promoting evil. The Hollywood entertainment, the movie you talked about on my Invisible TV today, I watched a commercial about White House Down. And, I mean, the subliminal programming, the placement of ads and different things they are using to subliminally seduce our minds into thinking not in the ways of righteousness, the ways we should be thinking. And we are in a deception. And I'm not sure what the great deception will entail. I have a feeling, since the word says it could deceive the elect if it were possible, it's going to be greater than the deception now. But there has never, I mean, the deception now is so high. I cannot fathom the deception that will be soon.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
And we've been getting, excuse me, I was on Coast to Coast last night during the news segment, and the question was about Edward Snowden. And the more research I do about this, and we do about this collectively, look, there's an issue here that I'm not comfortable with regard to Mr. Snowden. 29-year-old high school dropout, okay? 29 years old, high school dropout. He reportedly washed out from the military. Now,
3 months in employment in the NSA, or there's a contract.
Right. Right. Now, if you think about this, take away what he allegedly has reported to have done. Are you telling me, is our government telling us that Snowden, in his position, 3 months in employment with Booz Allen Root, I believe, is the subcontractor, was he in a position to be privy to this level of classified information that he reportedly had taken and spewed, or is there something else going on here? Are we that cavalier with our quote top secret information? Or is there something else going on here?
Going to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You know, then the Interpol request not being made to prevent him from traveling, just so he had enough time to get where he was going. The whole involving Russia and the way that the media played it was, oh, Russia is, you know, telling the U.S. to shove it along with the other nations, promoting the division. You know, while it might be true that he won't go along with the U.S., but they don't ask the question, is it right for the U.S. to go after Snowden in the first place?
Oh, well,
and they don't
at least
get a conclusion, a real logical conclusion, or what they do is they have people on there who have been past government employees. We saw the former director, assistant director of the FBI, right after his identity was being made, calling him he's saying the only criminal was not the government, was not the NSA, but it was Snowden. We have people calling him a hero. I would say he's neither. I would say he is a normal man, hopefully, who just did what he was supposed to do, what he thought was the right thing. But things that are surrounding this incident make it seem a little odd. But, you know, when you're getting that high profile from releasing that information, it's probably going to be a weird situation. And I don't know if he got in over his head. He said he was prepared to go away for the rest of his life on the first interview he gave to CNN. But should we take him at his word? I don't know.
Well, look, this, folks, just understand this. What we're doing here, Doug and Joe Hagman, and the reason that we've been somewhat quiet or silent about, at least in print about this, is because of the irregularities we're seeing. And the we know, of course, we're all too familiar with the Goebbels quote, the fact that if you tell a lie big enough, and what is it, you keep telling it over and over again, you keep repeating it, people are going to eventually believe it. Now, we're seeing this happen in the media. So I would question everything that you hear about this. And while this Snowden, this captivation with Edward Snowden is taking place, I'd be very cautious and very concerned with what we're not seeing. And I would just urge everyone to exercise a bit of discernment when dealing with this issue, much like the Boston bombing and the other situations that still are unresolved, in my view anyway. Let's just, you know, take a little bit of time and look at this, analyze it, use discernment, and also watch what's going on the other side. Joe, go ahead.
We know that there is agenda behind, or multiple agendas mostly, for the most part, behind most stories in the news, scandals, stories, false stories, and trying to figure out what the agenda is, how the evil forces are playing off it, how, if it is what it just looks like, or if there's more to it than it appears to be. You know, we can break that down all day, and while it is important to a degree, because maybe there's information we can find out once we reach a provable conclusion on that, but the government is working as hard as it can just to divide people. They're doing things overtly insane and offensive to Christians, to Catholics, to people of all different nationalities, and in different ways. They are bringing about strife and division. They are pitting the brother against each other. 100 years ago, before TVs and cell phones, I read a book once. People didn't sit in their houses and just do nothing, not interact with their neighbors. There was communities. Now we have people who live around each other, who don't know each other, who are pretty much angry at each other just because. That is the tone and attitude of the masses right now. And why is that? It is the way that we have been pretty much incrementally, socially engineered, and it is so bad. The division is so bad that neighbors hate neighbors, or, you know, families, and we talk about this a lot, all the families that emails we receive, people asking for prayer requests because their spouse is not, or just outright rejecting the Lord and what is in the Bible. The division it said it would come, and it said that not only would the division in the families come, but the families would turn on each other to the point where they will turn you over to the people who will execute you, and that is yet to come here in this land in a big scale, but it will come.
Exactly. You know, we are living in an age right now, and I've learned a lot as you go through and you do research. The divisiveness that we see is not a byproduct, but it is the expected agenda or expected result of an agenda at work. Saul Alinsky's playbook, you know, the rules for radicals. Boy, when you bring that up in the presence of a progressive or even someone who identifies themselves as a liberal, not a progressive, it seems to just, it's like showing a cross to a vampire. It's amazing what that does. But one of the things, the underlying things here, as we get further down the road that we're traveling, you mentioned this earlier, the promos to this new movie coming out, White House Down. Obviously, folks, you remember Olympus Has Fallen. That was released on March 22nd of this year, 322. There's obvious Greek mythology references. Now, people will kind of roll their eyes and say, who cares? What's this all about? I truly believe we're seeing the manifestation of an occult-like agenda working in concert with the people in power. And I say that not lightly, knowing that people could call me Looney Tunes to even suggest that. But it's very difficult to fight or to say, no, you're wrong. When you look at movies like Olympus Has Fallen, White House Down, what is being telegraphed? Hollywood is an extension of the Illuminati and is kind of really the power brokers, the Luciferians and such. What are they trying to say here? What's being telegraphed? And let's look at this. So at least we know what we're dealing with, and what we're dealing with are the principalities and powers of darkness. All
preparing us, I believe, for something to happen here in the near term. Joe?
Yeah, there are much better, more legitimate reasons to call you names. And no, I'm kidding. We're going to go to the phones. And, you know, we're learning and growing just, you know, along with you guys. We never had all the answers, and I don't think we ever will until it is revealed to us. But this is a spiritual journey for us as well. And we're, at least I'm, and I know my dad is too now, sharing our findings, what we are coming across from our spiritual knowledge that we're gaining with you guys. But we're growing it together as an audience. And we're going to go to the phones right now. We have a whole bunch of callers on the lines. We've got 27 minutes left. We're going to go to Vernon first. But I urge everybody to, you know, make little groups, brainstorms, little Bible studies. We need to be open to what the Lord will show us and reveal to us through His living Word. And this is how we will gain spiritual knowledge. It is very important. One of the most important things, just like prayer. You can never do it enough. And with that, we're going to bring Vernon on. Thanks for holding and your patience, Vernon. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Wow. Gentlemen, you had some dynamite conversations today. I enjoyed Pastor Paul. And before I get started, I'm going to say to Joe and to Doug, I'm truly sorry that you're going through the events that you have been going through. We'll have you in prayer that God will build a hedge around you. That no other events take place, because, you know, that really hit home for me.
Thank you, Vernon.
You had so many conversations. And one of the questions that you had asked Pastor Paul about the household and how do you, you know, handle certain situations. And ironically, as you was going through that questioning, my stepdaughter came down, my daughter, I raised her from 5 years of age, came down. Dad, I love you, but stop sending me your stuff on Facebook. And what do I send? I send, let's pray for 1 hour on Monday mornings. Join me for 2 hours of gospel music, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And, well, my conspiracy file program. And I was asked to stop sending her those notice. And I, you know, and how you handle that is, okay, no problem. I don't argue, I don't fuss, I don't fight, I don't debate, I don't discuss. But you don't have to know that I have you in prayer at the same time. And that's how you handle that. Let God handle it. Like I said once before, is the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And the Holy Spirit, through those prayers, will convict on His timetable. And that's how you handle it.
Vernon, I think what you're saying, and as soon as, I suppose, when you get that kind of request, you back off.
You back
off. To the extent. Right, okay.
Yeah, because you don't want to build the wedge in there. The wedge is already in there, okay? You don't want it to, like, waterlog it. You know how you put a piece of punk wood in water and it swells up, okay? You have a bigger problem, okay? So instead of trying to force, first of all, you can't force no one to love anyone, or you can't force anyone to love God. You can't do it. All you can do is pray for them. That's it.
Exactly.
They could be your best heart. I'm talking about my best heart. But I can't force her to love God. Okay? And then I have to look at the fact, too, I made mistakes when coming through, because I'm just now coming back into the fold in the past couple of years. Prior to that, I was out there finger popping like everybody else. And that's what they grew up with. So now,
wow.
I'm doing a backflip. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, Jesus is on His way. It's time for me to get, you know, straight. And I can't expect everybody to fall in line like little tin soldiers. All I can do is say, hey, this is happening. This is the change. This is what's going on. This is why it's taking place. And if you accept it, fine, beautiful, I love you. If you don't, all I can do is pray for you.
Vernon, you said a lot. Yeah. And I just want to say this to... Okay, I just want to say this to the listeners. Vernon, you said so much. When you mentioned that wood in the wedge and then getting it wet and how it changes composition, structure, whatever, just to the listeners and to you, Vernon, I'll say this real quick. You know that can of stuff that's called Great Stuff? I think it's called Great Stuff. Did you ever see that in the hardware stores or the? Okay, well, anyway, it's this foam, and you use it to seal up cracks. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you this real quick. I trying to fix this door, and I figured, okay, I can do this. So I buy this can of Great Stuff, and it's this little straw tube thing, and you spray it in there. And listeners know, anyone who's ever used this, folks, you know what I'm about to tell you, okay? I spray this stuff in the crack. And the thing I didn't do is read the directions. Well, when I sprayed it in there, I just sprayed as much as I could in there, okay? Let me tell you something, okay? I have never – I swear that this door that I had – first of all, it wouldn't close because I had too much of a gap before. Now it won't close. Not only won't it close, I think it moved my house off its foundation.
Right.
It became its own entity, and it's crawling into my garage, and it's like, holy cow. See, I didn't read the directions, and we have the directions right in front of us. It's the Bible, isn't it? I mean,
right.
If we consult the directions. So, you know, that's just to me – we have
exactly.
The instruction.
Exactly. When you are, you know, when one of my prayers on Monday morning is, Lord, give us the wisdom in our dealings with one another, okay? Because we're so pumped. We see all the signs around us taking place on a daily basis. And we're so pumped because we know that our Lord and Savior is on his way. And I'm going home, and I want to take my family, and I want to take my friends, I want to take my associates, we're pumped. And they're looking
exactly.
At us like we're crazy. That's why God
said,
you can ask what you will, but then be still and know that I am God. So I ask that my family be saved. And when they tell me, hey, look, I don't want to talk about it, no problem. I don't have to tell you that I have you in prayer. That God changes things through prayer. And
that's
in
right.
His own time, in His time, He's going to deal with you.
Exactly. Vernon, man, as always, you leave us with a sage advice, and you will be in our prayers. Your family will be our prayers. We
Thank
love you,
you,
man.
Thank you. I love you guys. I love Pastor Paul. Look, all of you are true men of God. You're doing a tremendous job. That's why I listen in, because you're doing the Father's will. You're about your Father's business, and that's what it's all about. I do have one question for you, Doug.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. I'm on the phone.
I love it. I love it.
Reality.
My house, man.
I'm on the phone. Okay.
This is
but
just like
I do
house.
Have a question about Snowden.
Yes.
Could it be, and I don't know why I thought had this train of thought, but do you remember back in the 60s when they had various demonstrations and et cetera, and the police would be mingling among the demonstrators, and in some instances they instigated the trouble, okay, where
yeah.
You know, there had to be intervention. Okay, and recently Alex Jones even did a piece about a month or so ago where there were some demonstrators, and the NSA was in plain clothes centered around them, and everybody knew who they were. Could it be because of there's some event that's getting ready to take place, and we all know it is, we don't know what, but we have Snowden. We have yet another law, like what they're messing with our constitutional rights, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and now the Fifth Amendment. It was said that on the Fifth Amendment, you no longer have the right to say, I plead the Fifth, you know, due to the grounds that might incriminate me, okay? It's been ruled that no longer can you plead the Fifth. So could it be that Snowden is yet another ploy that they put out there? And I was listening to you on Pastor Paul this morning, and you were talking about his dropout from high school, dropout from the military, you know, dropped out from, and yet he's supposed to be this intelligent individual, that a good hacker or what have you. And I'm not doubting that could be the possibility. But could it be that he is a plant, really, to just take our attention and our focus elsewhere while they plan this great event that's getting ready to take place?
Yes, I'm not ready to dismiss that at all, given his limited background, because if everything checks out the way it is said, where he's a, you know, again, a washout, he's got an equivalency from high school, and look at the time period he spent both at as an analyst as well as a subcontractor for the CIA. If you look at the timing and look at how long in reality it takes one to actually receive clearances, various levels of clearances, and be put in the proximity or in the position to you know, so there's something wrong with that story. Yes, yeah. I'm not going to dismiss that. Absolutely, Vernon. Very astute observation. And folks, don't dismiss what you're hearing here, because it's very possible. Let's not swallow hook, line, and sinker the official narrative until we really take some time and look into this a little bit deeper. Weigh all the evidence. Yes.
Amen. Okay, gentlemen, it's a pleasure as always, and I'm trying to put a show together where I have one gentleman, he's listening now, and I'm not going to identify him unless he tell me I can, but he's a judge, and he's on the program right now listening. And also, I'm going to have you, the
well,
judge.
Hello, Your Honor.
And I'm going to have also another friend of mine who's a lieutenant, and he has to be totally unidentified. And I would like to talk about some of the laws and some of the events that are taking place and what you see coming down the pike. And I'm trying to put that together for about 2 or 3 weeks from now. So I'll be in contact with everyone. I'm going to try to pull everyone together at one time.
Folks, heads up on that, and that will be indeed an interesting program. Thank you, Vernon. God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for your call, Vernon.
All right, thank you.
You too. All right, excellent. That was Vernon, and we talked to him frequently. He is a man of God, too. He does a lot, opened a conference room to have fellow Christians come in and interact, and he does a show on Blog Talk Radio as well, and I just love to see other people getting the word out, and we want to be a part of that as much as possible with other people. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to go to area code. Let's spin the wheel. 971, thanks for your patience. We're bringing you on now. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hello?
Hi. Yeah, you're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
My name's Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hey,
I'm from Oregon. I'm sorry. I'm kind of in shock. I've had my phone on all day. I was listening to Pastor Bagley this morning with you guys, and I just wanted to say that you are very blessed and highly favored of the Lord for being watchmen and it's wonderful. I can't believe I'm actually talking to you.
I can't believe that I can't believe you're not sick of us.
No.
Okay. Well, that's great. Pam,
never,
you know, it's...
Never.
It's so great to talk with people. Now, you're in Oregon, and I mean, it's just so great to know the family. I don't want to take your time up. Pam, is there a question that you have, or we can...
Well, I had so many things that, I really don't know where to start, but this one thing just really blows my mind. My little granddaughter came down from Seattle. She's 12, and her mom took her to the orthodontist. I know this sounds like strange, but bear with me. And she's going to be getting her braces on in October, and she was just really excited because the orthodontist wants her to wear this bracelet. Now, she's going to get rewards for wearing this bracelet. This bracelet will monitor her calorie intake, her exercise, her I don't know what all. And, you know, I got to thinking, that's how this Mark of the Beast thing is going to come in. It's going to be a cool thing. It's going to be something that people get excited about. Because my granddaughter is just really excited, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me. They're going to put this thing on this kid. So,
Wait a second. Did you say orthodontist, though? This is how it's coming through?
Yes. Her orthodontist is going to reward these kids for wearing these bracelets. And I honestly don't know what all it monitors, but it will monitor her calories, her exercise, her, who knows what all.
Yep, and you know what? I'm pretty sure that they're going to have a mandatory implementation plan by, I think the date's September 30th, 2013. They're going to have the plan, and I think they're going to start in the 2014. That much I know, but I have not got a specific date on the implementation. But they will have the plan written on September 30th, 2013, and it should be available on the FDA website.
Yeah, and I get so frustrated because I'm kind of isolated here. I have friends and neighbors and family, don't get me wrong, but nobody wants to talk about this. Everybody thinks that you're just, they look at you like you've got a third eye in the middle of your forehead when it's weird. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone or something. But so that's, I listen to these your programs, I never get sick of them. I had another thing, though. Did you hear about them putting RFID in the medications?
They're starting with the prescription bottles, and they wanted to put RFID tags on the prescription bottles in order to be able to track. And if people are going to sell their medication, they can take the prescription drugs out of the bottles. So,
I thought I heard that it was going to be, because I did hear a guy talking about how they actually can sprinkle it on food. They experimented with that in Japan. But I heard that they were going to put it in the medication so they could actually tell if you were taking it.
Yeah, yes. And Joe's done a lot of research on this RFID thing. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, okay. Did you ever get sick of one of your kids, who hounds you about something? Okay. Well, he hounds me, and he's my son. He hounds me about this RFID issue. And Pam, you're right to bring this up. There is a bar in Europe, okay, for example, where they did chip implants, so you can buy drinks without a credit card. Now, think about that, okay? And think about how this putative president, and I call him that because I don't seriously believe that he's legitimate. But that said, think about the Western ideology that he embraces, bringing this mindset to the United States, having us accept that, what you're talking about, Pam, the RFID technology, the chips, the convenience it brings. And by example, Pam, you said the excitement with the bracelet. Oh, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, she was very excited about it.
Oh, man, really?
And her mom just won't listen. My daughter will not talk about this at all. She just absolutely doesn't want to hear about it. and it just kind of makes me ill thinking of my granddaughter, because it's not that this bracelet is the mark of the beast. It's the way that they are gradually promoting this technology so that it's cool to wear something. You probably heard about that Motorola tattoo that they presented last month, that it's a rubberized tattoo that they can put on you that has these little wires that implants, and it will protect your password so that nobody else can use your phone, because they won't have this tattoo. Nobody else can use they can use it for your computer passwords, even your car. I don't know if you saw that. It was on. It's on the internet.
Yes.
I know this stuff.
Yeah.
Pam, what a wonderful piece of information. It's disturbing about the bracelet.
Tomorrow I'm gonna go over some things that we found on that. That we found an article, and it was written. This page was set up by. It wasn't by the government, but it explains how the RFID in Obamacare is a lie, but. Then it's doublespeak. It says, yes, it's not, don't make it mandatory, but the framework is there to do it. And the RFID chip won't be forced on you, but it might benefit the public if it is. Very odd language. And I do have the Federal Register notice. I have the implementation plan. There's a plan also called the Least Burdensome Approach. That talks about how to incrementally implement this first through with criminals, then VAs and hospitals and babies. It's a very diabolical, sick plan. They have thought this out for years, and now we are seeing the implementation.
Yeah, well, you know, think about if they do put it in the medications, which I think that's one reason for this Snowden thing. I think you guys were talking earlier this morning with Pastor Bagley about all the so many things are happening in politics and the natural disasters and in the economics and the morality and religion, and it's coming from everywhere. And you know, that's deliberate. I can't remember the name, there's a big long word for it, but it's done on purpose, because not only does it confuse people, but it creates a type of paralysis and an apathy, because it's just overload. People don't know what to do. They don't know, should I call my congressman? Should I write a letter? Should I write the newspaper? Should I protest? You know what I mean? It's overload, and it's done deliberately. And it's
exactly.
Just coming faster. Faster.
Yeah, we're like sponges. No, you know, with Pam, you bring up a great point. We're like sponges, and pretty soon you can't absorb anything anymore, and you get the paralysis of analysis. And where do you turn? You know, what's important, and that's what we try to provide. You know, what's important.
We crawl in the great Noah's Ark that is Christ. You know, I heard the coolest thing, that God had Noah pitch the inside and outside of the ark to protect it from the waters from above and the waters from below. And they went in the ark and they sat there for 7 days, and then God shut the door. You know, and I think that the waters were analogous of the evil that's just being poured out from the spiritual realm, from beneath and above and everything. But God's people can go in his ark, which is Christ, and he'll watch over us.
Well, you know what? That's a lot better than crawling underneath the covers, pulling them over your head and saying, it doesn't exist. Although that's kind of what we all want to do sometimes. Pam, you've been a great call. I just want to say God bless
you.
Thank you so much. Wow, that's interesting. God bless. You take care. Folks, you heard that. You heard that about the excitement for an RFID bracelet, calorie intake.
Tattoo, RFID, identification markers. Look, things are coming that we cannot control. The only thing we can control about these things coming is our destiny and eternal life. And also, while we're here on Earth, we can only hope to do, and we need to really make sure it's our number one priority to find out what the Lord's will is for us through listening to him and execute that for him.
Exactly. And folks, what have you done today to prepare? Look, we don't have much time. And I just want to say, contact AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Top off your preparation, or if you're fully prepared, certainly you can provide food to those in need as well. Purchase a can of food, have it designated to a certain party. Let's all stick together in this.
Branch out and help others learn how to do the same thing.
Exactly. And tomorrow night.
Possibilities are endless as far as helping people go. Go ahead.
No, tomorrow night, Daniel Holdings. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell a mundo, whatever.
Is that
but,
2 hours, 1 hour
two
whole
hours.
Show? 2 hours,
no,
okay,
two
because
hours.
We might.
8 to 10. Or eight, from 9 to 11, I'm sorry, Eastern.
Okay.
But
all
the
right.
Show starts at 8, right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of our broadcast. God bless each and every one of you. We will see you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Until then, stay safe and
God bless.
Yeah, God bless.